welcome. Hey. Hope you all had a safe 4th of July. Prayers to the Park Heights, Illinois mass shooting victims and their families. My condolences to each and every one of you, and pray for your strength in the Lord and your health and your you getting well. We all have different ways to celebrate or not, but that's a topic for another day. But tonight, welcome to Tuesday, July 5th, 2022. Let's do a radio segment of Miss Inez Says. Let's talk about it. And the topic is, he says, she says. I was talking to some fellas last week, and they said, let's talk about that. And do you hear, what do you hear when I talk to you or you talk to me? I am your hostess, Miss Inez, CEO and fashion designer of On Ice Alco Designs, broadcasting to you worldwide. Call in to the show if you want to partake, join in the conversation, or just want to be an active listener at 845-241-9985. Again, it's 845-241-9985. And let's talk about it. You know, y'all, when he says one thing and she hears another, and vice versa, she says one thing and he hears another, come to the table and talk about what's really bothering you, or what do you hear when something is being said. Do you understand the words that are coming from my mouth? Again, that number is 845-241-9985. Let's get into the first question. We got Sergeant Parks with us, and other people are going to be joining because they said, Joe said, hey, I want to be part of this show. So waiting for Mr. Joe, Montana Joe, to call. But anyway, either one says, we need to talk. What runs through your mind? Of course, it all depends on what may have happened earlier, but what are your initial thoughts when you hear these words? We need to talk. What do you say, Mr. Parks? You've been married for a while now. I know you say, yes, dear, yes, dear, yes, dear. You know how it goes. So what do you think? What do you hear when we need to talk?
Well, first of all, you got to be a patient listener. You got to listen to what's happening. You got to understand what the signs are, you know.
Okay.
And then where's the information coming from? If it's personal communications between you and your spouse, then you need to quietly sit down, and then you need to talk about it. Don't let it get old, because the older it just stinks the place up.
Try to
be a good listener, you know. And at the end of the day, there's not, you can, you need to be able to compromise as well. You know, give up something to get something. And if the marriage is not really going anywhere, then you need to consult somebody with some professional help.
Okay. I can go for that.
So those are my thoughts.
And like I said, it says it depends on what happened earlier. We need to talk. I mean, it could be a good talk. You know, you don't know what's going on or what's going through somebody's mind. You know, when you hear those words, we need to talk. We need to talk. You know, so I mean, something could be going on in her day that she needs to talk to you about. You know, you don't know, something could be going on in his day. We need to talk. We need to plan this. You know, it just depends on what it is. Does it mean I need time to myself? Or is it he or she is just a friend? Or does it mean I got you wrapped around my finger? I'm going out with the girls or the guys? Or this is not working? What does it mean? What exactly do those words mean to somebody? And, you know, it could mean a multitude of things. What you got going on, Sergeant Price? We got a lot of noise back there.
No, I don't have anything going on. In fact, right now I'm outside, so.
Okay. I heard a lot of squealing and what have you. Okay. And so, and then I have these other phrases out here that I got off of 15 Things He Says and What He Means. Okay. I'm tired. What does that mean? I'm tired. And that equals, I don't want to do that. It's like, okay. I don't want to do what? I'm tired, you know. The man just got home or the woman just got home. Give him some room, you know. If he says, I'm tired, they may be tired. But you have to think about their situation as well. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Well,
Sergeant Park.
There's also money problems that normally is the root of all evil between couples. That would run it real bad. And then just the dominance of the conversation, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I know that we're used to saying that the man is in charge. I kind of think after being married a few times, I kind of think that you just need to be able to sit down and compromise, and then I know what's going to take place, and you know what's going to take place. You know what's happening. So how did we get here in the first place? We put our two cents together. You know? A lot of things.
And I mean,
like,
you know.
Go ahead.
I mean, it could mean a lot of things because it's like, I'm tired. I mean, and it depends on when it's said as well. I'm tired, you know. Am I tired of the situation? Am I tired of you? Am I tired of, I'm just tired because I worked hard? So it really does depend on a lot of times the situation. And the key thing is people don't communicate, you know. And he could be hollering or she could be hollering, I'm tired. You know, it's like, okay, why, what did I do, you know? So one person may be like, okay, what did I do? What direction is this going? What direction are we taking? So it just depends a lot, you know. But what it says on the the information I got, it says, I don't want to do that. Like, okay, I'm tired. I mean, you know, because it's, say, for instance, she might want to go out dancing. And he says, I'm tired. I mean, I don't want to do that. I just want to stay here and, you know, channel surf or whatever. So it could mean a lot of things, but it's like, you know, let's talk about it. Like, in my show, let's talk about it. What is it that you're really tired of? Are you tired of me? Are you tired of the situation? What are you just actually tired because you worked a long day? No.
Well, if you,
and then our
you
next.
Know, this,
go ahead.
You know, number one, you got to be. A lot of people get married and getting coupled up that don't even get to know the people that they're coupled. Okay,
right.
That's one of the basic things because, oh, you come in all lovey-dovey and you did everything.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you was just there and you was Kid Galahad and, oh, my God, it's the best thing since Swiss bread. And then after 3 months, everything just seems to change, you know.
Yes, it goes
and
downhill
you're not
a lot of times.
Yeah, you're not doing what you did. You know, you're not doing what you did to get me. Now all of a sudden you change and you're like Dr. Jekyll and Miss Hyde, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And normally when that takes place, then I think you need to just reevaluate what is going on. And then if you need to take a loss to resolve it, then do it. The only thing that if you had kids along the way, if you had community property along the way, now it's getting real sticky.
Yeah,
you know?
yeah.
Yes,
and
it
then,
does.
And then two people can grow apart. You can grow apart over a period of time. You can grow apart. I mean, I take one of the examples of seeing these billionaires and stuff that's all of a sudden now they married 30 years, now you want to get a divorce. Like money didn't stand the test of time, okay? Oh, but we can divide it and you can do the settlement and go our own way. Does that mean that we really weren't really in love at first, or did we just marry for convenience? You know, did we marry
for convenience so that
we can get to this pedestal or this high mountain, and all of a sudden, okay, we'll walk away from this. Okay, no problem. Just like business people, you know. It's okay if you're single, but when you got kids and stuff, I mean, wow. You know, and nine times out of ten, your kids are going to do the same thing. They're going to walk away from a relationship because they really don't understand what took place in the first place. Or they're going to get out there, and then unless they got some good guidance, some good people to guide them along the way, you know, but that is so tough. You know, mom and dad been married all these years, and now we're in our 20s. We're finna step out, and now all of a sudden it's gone. Then that makes the kids think, oh, well, what the heck I need to be in a relationship for? You know?
Right. That's true.
So it's crazy, but sometimes you grow apart, you know? You grow apart.
Yeah, and that's sad that happens because neither one of the people could be bad people. They could be really good people. And sometimes you just need to converse and talk about, you know, what's going on and you know, all that wonderful stuff. And, I mean, you got to this point. You know, did you talk before you got to this point? What happened? How did you get to this point, you know? What made it so bad that it got to this point? You know, it's crazy. It's crazy, but it is what it is. Oof. It's hard. It's really hard.
Yeah, it is. I mean, just look at the percentage of, like, say, black people. You know, a better percentage, like in the 50s or the early 50s, we had a better percentage of black people married and families and stuff than we do now. I think it's like 20% or 30%. You know, that's crazy.
It's even that.
Yeah.
You know. That's. See, because I just want, I would love relationships to work, but it doesn't work all the time.
It doesn't work all the time,
you know. And people really get to the point where it gets to be so bad that, you know, it's like, no, it's not working. This is not working at all. And all because you didn't communicate. But that's just like in everyday situations. It doesn't matter if it's in relationships or in just all the way around life. People, they don't communicate. They don't communicate, period. You know, which is sad.
Mm-hmm.
And because things wouldn't have to get out of hand if you just talk about it. As I say, let's talk about it. If you talk about it, then you know where everybody stands, and you would know where you are and how to do and what to do. You know, you know, people don't. They don't. They just don't. They don't know how to communicate, and some of them don't want to communicate. You know. They don't want to communicate.
They don't think that they, you know, you could possibly need some professional help. That's just out of the realm of trying to suggest to somebody. You know, and then a lot of people are in assumption that, oh, we need to go pay or some kind of counselor, pay somebody to do. No, you need to find a good preacher, you know.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Good preacher and stuff, because they're going to do almost the same thing that counselors be doing anyway. You know?
Right.
What your side is, and let them talk and tell what their side is, and then trying to come to some happy medium, you know? And the longer you let things go, guess what? The longer it's going to take to get it built up.
That's right, and that's like backpedaling. It's like, you know, it's just not a good thing. It's just not a good thing. It's not a good look, as they say. It's just not a good look. Not a good look. You know, it's just not.
No, it's not.
Mm-mm.
No, it's not. But a lot of times. A lot of times what hurts the most is that one person is really trying.
Uh-huh.
You know, you're really, really trying, and you know what the deal is, and the other person keeps pulling away and, you know, not making home on time and spending more time at work and spending more time with somebody else or whatever. You know. And a lot of times it's just like, oh, wow, you know, we've got these assets and, wow, what's going to happen with the assets, you know?
That's all they talk about a lot of times, yep.
Yeah.
That's all they talk about.
With the assets, you know, just instead of just, just be fair and divide it up and then go your way. At least end the relationship on a high note, especially if you got kids. You know,
right.
Some people are able
right.
to do that. Is to get out of the marriage, still got kids, and still get along great with their exes. You know, and I got
right.
a lot of
people
like that.
I did. I didn't have no problem. I had no problem with mine. As you say, of mine. One of them I talked to is still a lot. But the other one, he's on his fourth marriage. And he's done changed, and he's like, okay, all right. He's done changed to a whole nother, religion and everything. He's like, okay. So sometimes you just have to go through to get to do whatever you need to do. But, and then the next one, number 14, is like, I like you. Okay, and these are things he says and what he means. He says, I like you. What does that mean to you as a man? I like you.
Well.
He said, well.
right now, I know what it means. I know the implication of where that can lead once the woman conceives and stuff, that, okay, no problem, are you? You had me at hello, you know.
Okay.
You had me at hello. A lot of men take full advantage of that, you know. And what happens is normally things don't turn out right. Some cases they do, but they're not going to turn out right because you didn't put enough trust and honesty in it from the beginning. You know.
Right.
And a lot of times women make it so easy. Like I be telling young teenagers and stuff. Like I'm teaching this summer class. I'm teaching golf and then safety and a whole bunch of other things. About 60 kids, about 15
to 20
are teenagers, and half that are young girls. You know.
Oh, okay.
One of my things is, you know, if you really, really want a great relationship and stuff, you make whoever it is that's going to be all Google-eyed at you, you make them go through. You see how much they want to do, because the first time you get your big eyes and started smiling and going on, then they gonna just go back to their friends and say, "Yeah, man, she liked me." Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So what you gotta do is you gotta make sure and stuff that you don't send the wrong message.
Impressive.
The wrong message.
Certain things
that you don't supposed to do on first dates.
Certain things
and stuff that you need to understand the signs. You know.
Get down with
somebody older, some young lady older, or somebody that you're really trusting and stuff, and kind of talk about how you feel in conjunction and stuff with this person, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And most of the time they'll set you straight and tell you that, oh, okay, like, what kind of clothes were you wearing? Were you wearing them? Daisy Dukes or whatever they call them, real short dresses and all of this, looking just like you were out there on the block. Okay?
Hussy land, you going to Hussy land? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If that's what's taking place and stuff, you know, and what you want to do is you always want to try and remain a lady. You know.
Yeah.
So the only way you can learn.
But a man needs to remain to be a gentleman as well.
Well,
a man needs to still remain a gentleman as well.
A man is still on. He could be a spring chicken. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But once he finds out that, wow, you know, I met this chick and she's smiling at me and she really dig on me, then it's not all guys, but some will be thinking, wow, you know, I got her. So then you be formulating your head, you know, how many courses, you know, I mean, to go to, you know. My grandma was just like, you remain a lady, I don't care what, you know.
Uh-huh.
And you will end up and stuff. You know, once you show a man and stuff, this is what I stand for. Like my granny used to say, a man that don't open the door for me, you know, he can hit the highway. You know,
right?
A man that don't respect me, he can hit the highway. I can remember one program we had where I told you guys I'm a feminist because I learned from my grandma and my aunt. You know.
Yeah, but tonight we're talking about he says, she says. What do you hear when he says one thing? What do you hear when she says one thing? Do you understand the words that are coming from my mouth? The number is 845-241-9985. And we were talking about 15 things he says and what he means. The first one was, I'm tired, which equals to, I don't want to do that. The one that we're on now, Sergeant Parks and I was talking about, I like you, which equals, I'm not sure. She didn't say I love you, so I'm not sure if I like you or not. But we do have another caller who just joined us, 5372. I believe that's my trusty friend. Is that you, Dustin?
Yes, I'm here. I'm listening for just a few minutes. Give me a couple, and I will be right back to you.
All right. Not a problem. Okay. And then we have another person. Go ahead. You're fine. Then we have another person who just joined us, Lucid Libraria Tim. And can you tell us who you are? Libertarian. Thank you. I'm sorry. Can you tell us where you're calling from?
I am calling from Salem, Oregon. I am a first-time caller, and another one of my listeners turned me on to your show and said, hey, you should tune in on Tuesday night. They're going to be talking about relationships and stuff. And so I'm like, okay, cool, I'll check it out. But I did miss the first 15 minutes, so I apologize. So I'm a little late calling in.
You're fine. What we're talking about tonight is he says, she says. What exactly do you hear when he says something, and what does he hear when you say something? And so right now we have on the line my trusty friend, Sergeant Parks, who has Keeping It Real on Thursday evenings, and so he's with me. And then we also have Destin. He's from the Atlanta area.
And then we have my trusty, dusty friend, Rhonda, who I call her my silent partner. She's in the background, and she listens because she's doing other things. So we have a few listeners on the line, and I'm just waiting for my friend Montana Joe because he says, yeah, we need to talk about that, you know, so on and so forth. So welcome, 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 first-time caller. Thank you so much for your friend telling you about us. And so basically it's, do you understand the words that are coming from my mouth is basically what we're talking about. And so the first one was 15 things he says and what he means when he says, I'm tired, which means I don't want to do that. I said, okay, okay. The one we're on right now is I like you, which equals I'm not sure if I like you type of thing. So that's basically what we've been talking about, Miss Salem. So when you hear I like you from a man, what do you hear?
You're directing that toward me, right?
Yes.
Oh, and by the way, my real name is Lorianne, by the way. Real name is Lorianne.
Okay.
This is Libertarian. Yep. I'm
okay.
Using the direct connect.
Thank you so much. That's okay. I appreciate that.
Yeah, when I hear a guy say, you know, I like you, I kind of hear that as I'm interested, but I'm not sure yet about you.
Okay. Okay.
And, like, you know, got to get to know you a little better. That's what I hear.
Okay.
Like,
okay.
I like you so far.
Mm-hmm. You all right in my book, but I'm not sure if what level or what direction I should take that. Would you agree, Sergeant Park?
Say again.
From Lorianne, our first-time caller from Salem, Oregon, she says when she hears a man say, I like you, that means, you know, I like you so far, but I don't know if it's going to go any farther type of thing. So from a man's point of view, when you were younger and you know, you were looking at all these women, and you came up to a woman, you said, I like you. Did you really like her, or were you just trying to keep her so that nobody else could get her?
Oh, well, speaking from my point of view, then I used that
uh-huh.
many times, especially in my younger days and stuff, was, you know, that
right.
went with a wink. Would always wink, yeah, I like you.
Wink, wink.
And wink, wink.
Okay.
But, you know, the young ladies, but let's be clear, the young ladies and stuff that
uh-huh.
didn't work, you could tell from the beginning and stuff, you know,
uh-huh.
which way the conversation was going to go. That, and normally it was, well, you know, I like you too, but I'm not interested. You know?
Okay, okay. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And the ones that always just smile and giggle and went on ahead, well, guess what? You know, it was just really
what?
Too easy. It was really, really
those
too
easy. Those are the easy-getters, huh?
Yeah. It's just like being the bird to the alligators.
Right, right. That is true. Best on you back with us now?
I am. Trying to get caught
okay.
back up to speed.
Glad. You're fine. You know I'm going to catch you up. But basically, what I have is like 15 things he says and what he means. And we have Miss Lorianne from Salem, Oregon. She's the first-time caller. We have Sergeant Parks on the line, of course. And then we have Rhonda, my silent partner. And we have you, Destin, from Atlanta. So we have people from almost four corners of the United States. And I'm in Tampa, Lorianne. So I'm in Tampa, Florida, so we have, I guess, the four corners of the United States covered thus far. And so when you would say, I like you to a woman, what did you mean, Dustin?
Ooh. That's pretty good. When I, if I first meet you, I'm all about energy. Energy controls
okay.
this world, good energy, bad energy. And when I first meet you, if your energy is incredible, I like you.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't you
okay.
know? It doesn't mean that I want to get married tomorrow, but it definitely means that
okay.
You have potential to be somebody I could be interested in. So, you know, when I tell you I like you, I've spent, I don't have to spend an absorbent amount of time to know whether or not your energy works with my energy. Some people start out and they're, it's like, wow, that's okay, different. And other people, it's like, ooh, wow.
That was
I like that energy right this minute.
This is me, right? This is all me, all right here. All this aura is all me. Okay. He said, And then we have, I really like you, which means from the site that I got this, it is, I'm falling for you. Would you say that that's true in most of y'all's books?
From you know, my point of view, when I really like you, I'm a Taurus. I love hard and I love strong. There's no gray area. It's really not.
Correct.
You know, we can pretend that there is, but you know, we kind of go from that like to love. When it happens, it happens.
Hard
and there's
and
not
quick.
Really a whole lot we could do about it. It's just like, ooh, okay, well. But,
right,
you know, if I tell you, if I say those words to you and I say I really like you, that is a safety barrier for me. If I say, you know,
okay.
I really like you, I need to hear your response, because you could be like, oh, that's sweet. And we're not on the same page.
No, but I mean, right. And that's what I'm saying. It says, oh, really? You really like me? I didn't think you cared. Because that oh, really could translate to a few things. They're like, oh, really? Really?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So it all depends on how she answers that.
And there's you have to listen to as they say, the context of what it's
used. The signs.
You know,
yes.
Oh, really? Well, that's kind of one of the hardest ones, because you're not really sure. Like, are you really surprised, or are you saying that condescendingly? You know, which one is it? You know, so then that opens up a whole different line of questioning. But if generally for most of the men that I know and that, you know, I've been around, if they, you know, in man time, you know, you around all your boys, like, I really like her. We feeling you. We feel it every part.
Right.
And if you're in a place where it's like, yeah, this girl just really got me here. I really like her.
I'll Twitter pay it.
It would not take much to switch like to love at all.
Okay.
From my experience.
So things are moving.
Listening to man time.
Okay. So things are moving in the direction you want them to move in this relationship.
Absolutely. So far.
Okay. And so, So, Lori Ann, if you heard a man say, I really like you, what would you think that he's saying?
I think he's saying that he is definitely interested in seeing more of me and spending more time with me. Definitely wants to take, you know, wherever we're at to the next level, whether, you know, if it's a first date, that means expect to be asked on a second date. If it's, you know, we've been in several together, then I hear like, I might actually be willing and able to commit to you. That's what I hear.
Okay.
I really like you. I'm actually interested in committing to you, whether it's, you know, an exclusive relationship or whatever, take it to the next level.
Okay, and so it doesn't matter where the accent is. I could say, I really like you. I really like you. I really like you. So it all depends also on how the accents go.
Hold on, Inez. I'm sorry. I should have said that. Because you know, that's the same way that I'm really feeling you. It's the same way. That security buffer. That I really like you. You know. You know. That's also a letdown. If I'm,
really.
You know, it's like, Right. Yeah. It's like, you know, I really like you.
I like your point, how you're saying like the accent matters. Like if you do it all creepy, like, ooh, I really like you. And you're like, oh, get the hell away from me. You know, don't get all creepy about it.
Well, it also depends on how much he had to drink. So you have to think about that.
Right. And if he's slurring his words, I really like, you know, yeah, it's really going to be a
Drunk man's voice is a sober man's heart. So you have to take some of that with a grain of salt. He calls you at, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning. Babe, I really love you.
I really like you.
He might not say that in the morning, but that's how he really feels. that was man subsection.
Like, are you even gonna remember me tomorrow? You know?
Right, exactly.
Are you
it's
in
like,
the blackout stage?
Really like. Yeah.
Well,
exactly.
If I let y'all ladies in on some man secrets, when we wake up in the morning,
okay,
we trying to remember, and we know we said something really cool. We just not sure exactly how cool it was. So the morning conversation with ourselves is like, what you say? I don't know. Yes, I do. Hold on. You said you loved it. No, I didn't. That's how it goes. And I'm probably going to lose my man card for that. I shouldn't divulge that, but just, that's how it goes in the morning.
I believe it. It was okay if you divulged it because I believe that to be for sure. That is hilarious. Sergeant Parks, you still out there with us?
Oh, yeah, I'm still here. I'm checking this conversation out, you know. I agree to an extent. I'm probably far older than you guys are, you know.
Sergeant Parks, you just turned 42. Sergeant Parks, I don't want to hear that. You just turned 42.
I'm 49.
I've been on this. You are not 49.
But you know where
I am 49,
where you guys are actually coming from experience, and I really, really mean this. You guys are coming from experience and stuff to sum up what is taking place, you know, with you, with your own persona for over the last 15 to 20 years. You know, and that's nowhere near what I'm hearing from young people and stuff to be talking about relationships, okay? Because they're so eager to just find that one person. Oh, you like them? My friend liked you, and my friend approved that. Then hey, we good. Then you good to go. So she just said, okay, my friend liked you. You know, so this conversation that we're actually having and stuff is right on time.
Yeah,
unfortunately, there's a lot of people and stuff that don't even recognize that. You know, it's the rebound. So you told a girl that you actually liked her and she's on the rebound. Okay, then what is that conversation going to be like? You know. So the conversation is really, really, really good. I like it.
Okay. Go ahead,
expanding
on
Sergeant. Hey, that is the most truthful thing I've heard in a minute. You have to be careful. You really do, because you know you could meet somebody who has just gotten out of something that was not healthy for them, and just because you present yourself, because we all present our best self. We all present ourselves the best self when we meet somebody. But if you get to, you know, you get to that 30-day mark where you've had the time to giggle on the phone, you have the time to, you know, talk all your best game, and now you're just conversating, and you find out that, whoa, she has been hurt. And you tell her you really like her because she's been hurt, and you're saying all the things that she was mad that the last person didn't do for her. All of a sudden, you're a really good guy, but you may not be the person for her. You may not be her cup of tea, she might not be yours. She might just be in a position where she just really wants some love and attention. And unfortunately, we fall into that all the time.
That's right.
Right. The rebound man. The rebound man.
That's right. 100%. And that's one of the things I be trying to tell young girls. You know, I was telling Inez before you guys got on, I had the opportunity to mentor young people. In fact, a whole bunch of young people. Right now we're doing the PODS program. We've got young females, all different backgrounds, you know, 13 to maybe 15 years old. And my thing to them is you need to make sure that whoever that you're trying to be real, real cozy and social with, okay, that you know enough about them, okay? And don't give up first. Don't be the first one to give up. Act like a lady. You need to act
or
like
give
a lady.
In.
You don't know how a lady is supposed to act. Get with somebody older that you trust, an older woman that you trust. Maybe your mom, maybe your aunt, and then have that conversation with them. Because in this area here, man, what I hear is just, and then the guys come back and they're going to talk about, oh, that's the first, oh, wow, that's it. You know, like girls should be passed around just like their loaf of bread or something, you know. But that's the nature in which, you know, they have been involved with, okay, and being able to do that. It is really terrible. My conversation is, no, you need to act like a lady. If you don't know how to act like a lady and stuff, you quit wearing these booty pants and all of this, you know. because if not, then that's what you're sending a message, you know. And then, believe it or not, they go to church with the same thing. I'm like, going to church, you're looking like you're walking the block. You know, and I'm saying, what are your parents saying about that? And I will have a discussion with their parents. Do you think that's too provocative? You know, one parent told me, oh, no, that's the way we came out of. She wants to wear it, and she's good. I said, okay, but, you know, what's she sending? The message? Is she sending the wrong message?
Right.
You know?
Right. That's right.
I mean, I think he makes an excellent point. It's, you know, how you dress sends a message of, you know, I want to be your booty call, or I want you to take me seriously, you know, and how you dress sends that message, and that's the reality of it. You can still be sexy and dress up in something that's sexy, but, you know, not showing all your goods either. You know what I'm saying? It's like, if you're showing all your goods out there, you're setting that message up that all you are is a booty call, dude.
They get it from television.
I mean,
they get it from television.
Not only that.
Everything they see is the bling. It's the bling. Oh, this is the way I'm supposed to do it, and I got to be just as foxy as everybody else out there, you know. And don't have any knowledge of how to protect themselves. You know, young lady protect themselves by presenting themselves. Once a guy come up to them and say, oh, I like, well, you don't even know me, you know. Go ahead, Justin.
And, you know, and that, this goes back to what you were saying earlier, you know, just like you were saying, mentor the youngins. You know, people say, you know, ask me all the time, like, why do you say I love you to your children every single time, and how come you talk to your daughters and you say you are the most beautiful person I've ever seen? Because what I don't want to happen, if I don't tell them and get their confidence up and their self-esteem where it needs to be, and I say to them, I keep telling them and reinforcing that every single day, when a young man comes up to them and says, you know, you're the most beautiful woman I've ever seen, in their mind they're like, well, I already know that because my dad tells me that every day, you know, and that's mentoring 101.
Yeah.
Tell me something I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You bring an excellent point, guys.
Hold on 1 second.
Right on the money, because what are your parents, what are your parents subscribing to, both male and female? You know, you're going to tend to do what? You're going to tend to do things in the likeness of what your parents account for or unaccount for, okay?
Right.
And it's just so obvious to me, it is, you know, might not be for a lot of people. And all you have to do is listen. Two things. two things you must do. You must listen, okay? And don't give no advice. Oh no, I wouldn't do this. Just ask them, what do you think you should do? What do you think your parents are gonna take? And if they come back and say,
right,
well, my parents really don't care, then that's sign number one. You know, and I'd be willing to talk to the parents. You know, I'd be saying, oh well, your daughter, I talked to your daughter, and guess what? Mm. I talked to your daughter, and this is the comment that she made. You know, so do you think that's appropriate? You know.
And then another one, we were talking about, you know, how as role models, when you have all these shows, the wives of this place, that place, and every other place, I don't know if I want them as a role model. I'm sorry, they have too much showing. They have too much growing because they look like a can of biscuits getting ready to pop out, some of them. Some of them are just like, oh, no, I don't even know how to even get these shows going on. So it's like, How can they be role models? How can you even say that, you know, Lorianne is my mom and she's on the Housewives of Salem, Oregon, but she's dressing like, you know, somebody out of a costume party. It's like, how do you bring that back down to someone who you want as a role model? What do you do in those instances? You know, do you say, okay, my mom is not the best role model, so I'm going to need to go to somebody from the church or somebody from school or somewhere to say, I need a good role model. Can you give me a suggestion? And when a woman asks that, or even a young man asks that, you know, what do you do? Who do you go to as a role model? Somebody who you trust, hopefully, you know.
Well,
somebody who... Go ahead.
Hopefully you're having those conversations. See, what we've gotten away from actually being there for our children to see that. Now, this is, I'm a two-time loser. I've been married three times, so I can tell you for a fact. You know, cause my kids are like 50 years old now. Okay, and until this day and stuff, I still get to the conversation and stuff with them because I see the way they raise their own kids. Their kids are still saying yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am,
absolutely.
And I don't have that to say. I can't tell them that. I can't tell you how to raise your kids. You already got
right.
That way. You know, on the flip side of that is some of their friends' parents and stuff, you know, are so totally different, you know. Like a 13-year-old girl is spending the night with her friends every weekend for the whole weekend, okay, and then come to find out that her parents live in the most deprivated area that you can live in. You know, and that don't raise no alarm to you. I mean, gang infested and stuff, robbery, drive-by, you know what I'm saying? Oh, my God. You know? So what's the... And 9 times out of 10, the kid is going to pick up on the same thing. Now, this is okay to do it. This is what I got to do, you know, in order to survive. You know? It's absolutely crazy. So we need to be paying attention to that and just speaking up on it.
Right.
Sergeant Parks, you made a really good point, and I always use the example of raising your kids right and watching your grandkids come up, and they're right also. One, it lets you know you did your job because generational, you're supposed to. But the other part of it is, like me, I was the goalie coach for my daughter's soccer team for 4 years. And we, you know, the first year I was coach. The second year I was coach dad. Third and fourth year I was just dad. And
I was going to say something,
you know,
about that.
Right. And, you know, and you look at it from one point of view and it's like, wow, that's kind of creepy. But in the same breath, you realize that there's not a whole lot of dads out here. And little girls need a dad. And, you know, my thing with all of my girls on my soccer team has always been, you're going to be a lady no matter what. I don't care how mad you get, you're going to maintain who you are as a lady. And two different parts of this. One, we had an incident on where the two soccer teams got to scuffle. And I have a whistle that I don't use a regular standard metal whistle. I whistle with my mouth, and it's very loud. And that gets all the girls' attention, and you need to follow my instructions after that. It's not because – I thought the fourth was yesterday. I'm sorry.
It was.
it was. My neighbors are getting rid of all of their excess. But, you know, when I whistle – because I've earned the respect from these girls that it's not because I'm controlling you, but I need you to listen to exactly what I have need you to do. So during this altercation, I whistled. I told all my girls to line up, and every last one of the girls came over, lined up, and stood there, angry, cussing, all of the above. You have to let some of the grain of salt go because the kids are different today. But if they got in line and they're still cussing and they're still talking about everything else, I'll accept winning that battle versus losing the war. So now, you know, at the end of that particular soccer game, at the end of that soccer game, one of actually two of the moms came up and she was like, "How did you do that?" And I said, "Do what?" He was like, "You whistled, and they listened to everything you had to say." I said, "Because I earned the respect." They're not sure whether or not I'm crazy enough to whoop their tail on this field. They're not sure. In the same breath, they also know that I love them like I love my daughter. Period. That's the simple way about it. So now moving forward, my seniors for my 11th grade year, I had three particular girls, my team captain Maria and a couple of the other girls, and the rules of dating my daughter are: before you get to ask my daughter out on a date, you need to come and ask my permission. I've said this since day one. I've told this story, period. My daughter will tell you the same thing. If you're going to date my daughter, you need to come and ask my permission, period. And before you ask my permission, before you speak to me, you hand me your report card to show me whether or not you're smart enough to date my daughter. So at the end of this particular practice, these three young boys walked up, stood in front of me, and handed me the report card. Did not say, "Hello, coach," nothing else. They just handed me the report card. So I took the report cards, I looked, and I didn't catch it at first. And it really emotionally got me when I realized what happened. But these little girls did not have a dad. And they needed somebody that they knew would protect them no matter what. And when it was all said and done, I'm like, "Okay, fellas, you know, why y'all here? Why y'all doing this?" And Maria's boyfriend is like, "You know, coach, I just, you know, I'm, you know, Maria's my girlfriend, and, you know, we're getting ready to have prom." And Maria said that the only way that I could take her to the prom is if I had your permission. Right at that moment, I realized why it wasn't creepy anymore for me to be called dad. It wasn't, it was no longer a problem. It was no longer nobody could come and say anything to me because I was doing my job. I have two daughters. But I also, my job is not to just those two daughters, because my daughter's friends need to understand what a man is if you're not in there. If they don't have something to look up forward to, when that little boy comes up with his pants sagging down and he's, "Yo, yo, yo, you sexy," and she fall for him, That's not the little girl fault. That's the dad's fault. Because the dad should have been reassuring and building a beautiful, strong little girl. And you know, when this was all said, and you know, the crazy part is, at two of my girls, out of the 4 years of there, two of my girls, I was joking one evening, and I always have a belt on. No matter short, shirt, I always have a belt on. And I was joking one evening, and I was the girls had messed up a drill that I was doing like 15 times. And I said, "That's it." And I pulled my belt off, and I literally, like, I wasn't going to hit another girl, but I pulled it off, and they weren't sure. So they took off running, and I chased them all over the field. you know, I wasn't going to hit him. But one of the moms was like, oh, my God, this coach is out here beating our girls, and literally took me to the school board. And it was so funny because during the school board meeting, it's a closed meeting. It's you, the parents, and the school board. All of my mm-hmm. girls from the soccer team and two of the girls that had got put off the soccer team came into the board meeting and was like, yo, I'm sorry, but Dad has never put his hands on us. We're not sure if he will or not, but we're okay with that. And do you know that that school board dismissed that case instantaneously?
Wow.
That's the job of a dad. Sidebar, just for a second, do you know that Father's Day is number 20 on the list of the most celebrated holidays? Do you know what beats us? Number 16 is Columbus Day.
Wow.
Oh my God.
We don't get no love.
That doesn't surprise me, but that's really sad at the same time.
That is sad.
I bet you can't guess what number two is. I bet you can't guess what number two is.
Probably, what's it called?
Christmas is first and Mother's Day is second. We're 20.
Because all you guys did is
moral of that story
and softball,
is,
right?
Socks and tie and an ugly sweater.
Yep.
Depending on your birthday. Wow. Depending on your birthday.
Okay. So where you are?
You know, Justin, we don't have enough dads and stuff to actually to stand up, you know,
or step
and be upstanding. Mm-hmm. You know, what we have is a lot of absentee dads. You know, and I can add myself to that because I stayed in the military almost 25 years, so I'm going just about everywhere you can think of and stuff, you know, to be able to stand up to that. And the women have really held it down as best I guess they can, you know.
Right.
And like you say, young girls need that so bad, man. You should just see the kids and stuff, man. When I got my program this late, you know, normally there at 8:30, but it was like about almost 9 o'clock when I got there. And when they seen me, they all ran over there. Just imagine,
right?
60 some kids from about 6 years old, you know, 15 years old, running over there. Hey, how you doing, Mr. Parker? I mean, that is one thing that will really, really, really touch your heart. You know,
it does,
right?
And
right.
I'm always real careful. I'm always real careful to try to listen, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to get around to talking to all of them. How you doing? How your mom and dad doing? Because some parents and stuff are just send their kids to the park, and you never see them the whole summer. We never see them.
No you know? Time. Mm-mm.
No, that's right. And I'll be saying, where your parents are? And you can tell the neglect because all you got to do is just sit with the kids and stuff and listen to them. You know,
you can look in their faces.
And that's all you really
you
ever have to do is just listen. Just listen.
I'm impatient.
Just listen.
Mm-hmm. I'm impatient.
And, you know, and I tell people I got the patience of Methuselah. Why? If you ever spent any time with a teenager and you ask them a simple question, why did you not take out the trash? You are going to hear their whole entire life story that is important to them. It had nothing to do with how important it was that the stinking trash is still in the trash can. It had nothing to do with that. But their whole life is ending because it's important to them. And that at that point in time, that's where you have to take a grain of salt. Yes, I know I told you to do that, but their life is melting down right now. And if you don't give them an outlet, this is where we have problems. This is where we have these kids to tell their moms and dads, leave me the hell alone. I wish my child would. That is how they would find with that look on their face. But in the same breath,
you know where the reward comes in, Justin? The reward comes in to me, man, is when you see them years later. You know.
Thank you.
And they respect
thank
you.
To have a good job, and they want to introduce you to their kids. They want to introduce you to their husband. And I get a chance, and I tell them very young, The first thing I tell them is I tell them that, okay, it's, when you get married and stuff, I want to meet whoever it is you gonna marry, because my thing to them is to go and tell them, hey, look, you are married to a great person, okay? And if she ever has any problem with you, you gonna have to deal with me, you know. And they always laugh. Yeah, you know.
Sergeant Putt,
I
will give you so much respect.
Serious enough. Yeah, you know.
I give you so much respect because you say it a whole so much nicer than me. I let them know real quick, fast, and hurry. I don't care about y'all arguing. Y'all can argue all day long, but if you ever put your hands on anything that belongs to me, I promise you it will take them years
that's
to find parts of your body. I do not care. No. But in the same breath, that's the way I watch my dad. And that, you know, that's the difference between our generation and the generation that's coming up right now, is these young men that are fathering these kids have no role model. They don't have a superhero. I used to take offense when people would call me Unc. Hey, Unc, let me ask you a question. And I used to take offense to it, like, I'm not that old. But the truth and reality is, it doesn't matter how old you are. You have an opportunity to teach a young man or a young woman something that you went through in your life. And if they can hear something and says, well, if he beats me, that doesn't mean love? No, absolutely not. That means that I need to come over there and dust his little tail off, and you're going to come and get yourself together. And once you get yourself together, you're going to move on with your life.
Absolutely.
But the truth and reality is, there's not, these kids aren't listening because they're afraid of what happens if he comes back? And no, what happens if she does it? Because it's, right now, I used to think it was just men. It's not men. Women are just as abusive to men as men are to women. We're just stronger. We do more physical damage, but women do more emotional damage. They can talk, and they talk very quickly. And we're not fast enough. We're not smart enough.
Well, no, not me for that. But, you know, sometimes it just takes a long time to keep. You got to hit yourself against the head. But tonight we're talking about he said, she said. I'm trying to get back on track. And
sorry.
The next no, I love these conversations because it brings in a whole different conversation, and sometimes we need to talk about it. And just because I have a topic, that doesn't mean we have to stick to the topic, because a lot of times things that other people say, people who are listening need to hear. Okay, so I appreciate the conversation of everybody on the line because you never know who's listening and who it may help. And you can always share these episodes with everybody else, you know, outside, inside, wherever you are. But, and so I appreciate, because a lot of times these topics aren't talked about. I mean, you may be preaching to the choir, but, you know, you say, hey, young man, you need to go listen to, you know, July 5th. Let's talk about it, you know, what Miss Inez says, he says, she says, and then this is what was talked about, then they can learn. And you guys talk about wives. And the next one on this 15 things he says and what he means is, I love you. What does that really mean? You're my future wife. That's what it equals. So as we're talking about this, we do have another caller that just joined us, and I want to bring them into the conversation as well. And the last four is 3643. You want to tell us who you are and where you're calling from? Three, six, four, three, last four. I think 720, I don't know who that is, but they're probably just listening. And so we welcome you to Let's Talk About It. Miss Inez says, Let's Talk About It. And we're talking about He Says, She Says. And if you are out there listening and want to join in the conversation, the telephone number is 845-241-9985. And we're having a real healthy conversation. Again, the number is 845-241-9985. And I have muted the mic of 3643, so you all can always join the conversation. But when
I'm going to start with Lori Ann first. When you hear "I love you" from a gentleman, what does that mean to you? That he's proposing to you, that you're his future wife? What does that mean to you, Lori Ann?
I guess context matters, you know, like sometimes like you're just telling a joke and they're laughing or like, oh, I love you, you're so funny, you know. But when it's a serious, you know, when it's serious, when you can tell when a guy is serious about it, like, I love you. Number one, I think men, overall, generally speaking, don't say those three words unless they really mean it.
Right.
And so I kind of take that seriously. And so when a man has said, I love you, it means to me that, yes, they do. You know, that they have a strong affection for me. They are committed to me. They want, you know, possibly want a future with me, and they want to build a future together. Right. Does it mean I want to marry you? Not yet, but I think it means, you know, I you know what I mean? Like, I think it means I might actually marry you someday, you know what I mean? Like, I'm considering you kind of a thing. And I think that that's kind of what I mean when I say it. You know, I don't say I love you to a man unless I mean it. Say it automatically in response to a man saying that I love you. It's like, you know, if he says I love you to me and I'm not feeling that strongly yet, I'm not going to say it, you know, I'm going to, you know, and so I think that it works both ways. And I think, sometimes I think women say it too quickly or too frivolously sometimes. And I think sometimes that ends up to a lot of heartache to men, because I think that at least the men that I know and I experience and, in my time, when they say it, they really mean it. They don't joke around. You know, they don't say it as frivolously. And so I think it really hurts a man when a woman says, I love you to him, and they're not really sincere. It's not really in depth, you know, and I think that really can kind of throw a man off, at least in my perspective. But then again, I'm a woman, so I don't know. But I think it works both ways, though.
And then again, it also is age, because you could say, I love you, and it could be, you know, somebody, a young person is like, I love you, you know. But when it's an older person, you know that you would think that they really meant it, because they want to have a future with you, because time is wasting. Time is passing. So and when they say, I love you, they're not playing. You know, and they want to keep you around, and they want to, you know, have you as their future wife and what have you. But as a younger person, I can't, you know, when I was younger, I said, I love you. You know, I got married to the first time when I was, 26. I was 26. He was 22. And that was then. This is now. So, but... thank you, Lori Ann. So we have Mr. Parks and Dustin, and we also have Montana Joe on the line. He has joined us. And we also have
Montana
643. Yes, he's
what's
on the
up,
line.
What's up, Joe?
What's
you
up,
know
Montana?
When I – yeah, and it's you Joe. Know that I will
–
hey,
Joe.
Lori. I'm going to – did you introduce yourself, Lori? Did you tell them that you're here because I recommended the show?
I did, but I didn't mention your name. I was waiting to see if you were going to show up, but I beat you.
Okay.
Call her out.
Yeah.
Call her out.
She.
Yeah.
Here I am, and she already beat me to the show. But one thing I wanted to say is that you guys never.
Early.
Yeah, you guys will never hear me say I love you. Okay, I can promise you that.
You just did.
I love you.
I love you.
I know, I got to witness.
And it's recorded.
Yes, it's recorded. I'm with you. I don't care. We're going to accept that. No, Montana Joe, we love you too, baby boy. We love you
yes,
too.
Yes,
that's,
we
love,
yes.
We love you.
Oh, yeah.
Lori Ann,
that's your problem.
Excuse me. Hold on, Lori Ann.
Lorianne, we have fun on our show. So when Montana Joe comes, you know, it's like, oh, Lord, never know what he's going to say. So he said, I love
nope.
you. It may not have been in the context that he wanted to say it is, but it was there.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Yeah,
we've always said it.
I'm Joe's radio wife, but he has threatened
okay.
divorce a
what?
Few times. When
that's
yeah,
right.
I'm his radio wife. And he'll be like, I'm going to divorce
oh
you. Because I give him too hard of a time.
Not,
so, yeah.
Not Joe.
No, Lorianne, you got him. He's yours. Uh-uh, you can't. I signed
yeah.
the papers.
You can
I
have him.
Keep him on his own.
Right, Lorianne.
Hilarious.
That's right, and they're giving me away, and I am so glad of that.
Yes, that is hilarious.
But to get back,
that's what we're talking about. Is he says, she says is what we're talking about tonight.
Right.
So there are 15 things that a man says and what he means, and so we're on I love you. Does that equal you're my future wife? So that's where we are. So would you like to say anything, Joe? Since you already have a radio wife, I'm really mad now.
Yeah, right.
Oh, I'm sorry,
feeling some kind of way. We didn't get invited
sorry.
To the wedding. I'm feeling some kind of way.
We can have an open relationship.
I didn't get away or nothing.
You see what kind of wife I married?
She's awesome to me. She seems awesome. I mean, she's awesome, ain't she?
Yes, she is.
That's a good wife for him.
We all heard him say it. When you edit out that part that says you will never ever hear me say, yeah, then of course then I love you is all of a sudden a big deal. No,
he did
you forgot
again.
The first
yes.
part.
Yes,
he did it again. But getting back to what Lori was talking about.
Joe, you should have said, you'll never hear me say those three words.
Yep.
I-L-Y.
He said it again,
that's what you should have
yeah.
said.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then
you
would
have
asked me, what were they? And I would have said, I love you. And then the whole thing would have started anyway. See, I heard him sing it. I heard him sing
it. That's right.
Go ahead, Joe.
Go ahead. Hold on, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Listen,
yeah.
Every time Joe come on the line, I'm going to tell him I love him. Every single time. I don't
God
care.
Almighty.
Joe, you are my brother. I know we have never met in person, but I love you, and you are my brother, and I will defend you forever.
I need
you
to have
you
a radio wife.
I'm a
I think I should start
you're
saying it,
man.
Too, in my Joe impression. I love you, Howie.
There it is.
Oh, Jesus.
There it is.
Jesus.
No, you can't
God.
Say nobody
that's,
loves
that's
you.
Why.
You can't say it.
Oh, man.
You can't say it. We love you, Joe.
You better.
I'm kidding.
Hey, Joe, you better hope that politician is out on the line and stuff, man.
I know, huh?
Oh, yeah.
He really is going to get you behind.
Oh, yeah. By the way, Lori, this is a show that I grilled the politician on, so you can download it. It's this show. So.
Oh, yeah.
When you have
yes,
the time.
Yes.
Okay. But getting
uh-huh.
to the topic that
it
a man
good.
Asked tonight
really
about he
good.
Says.
Very good.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
But
I
agree with what Lorianne said. I'm going to agree with just about everything everybody here has to say on that because everybody's going to have an opinion that actually is going to make
correct.
Sense about the he says, she says. So I'm looking forward.
Right,
I'm
right,
looking
right.
forward to the show, you know.
Yes, you were, and I even talked to you. I said, Joe hasn't made it yet. That's what I said earlier. I said, he hasn't made it yet. But
and it was
I,
only
I said,
five
I did
minutes.
The show because, no,
Jesus.
It was earlier
yes.
in the show.
Five.
Lori Ann was 15 right. minutes late. Yes. She said she apologized. And I said, it's okay. We caught her
wait
up.
Wait a minute.
For yeah. the first 10, no waiting. And
really?
Then we had, you know, yeah, she
oh
was
God.
Here early. You really are.
It's only
slacking.
It's only
you
14 minutes after the hour. It's only 14
no,
minutes
no, no,
after
boo-boo.
The hour. How long
no,
have
no,
you guys
no,
been
no,
on?
No, boo-boo. Sweetheart, 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock.
Oh Christ!
Because
I looked, I didn't see you,
mm-hmm.
and I was on Blog Talk
mm-hmm.
Radio that time. I didn't see you. Oh,
yeah.
I'm sorry.
Oh,
it's
not, I've been
oh,
on,
I'm sorry.
That's okay. We still love you.
We
Oh, Jesus. You're all you are sick. You're all sick. Okay.
Okay. Okay. So the next, this one is, I love you equals you're my future wife. So do you have anything to say about that, Mr. Montana Joe?
Well, I just want to, you know, the topic I sent you, the love language, stuff like that. We communicate in nonverbal ways as well as verbal ways.
Correct.
We have to know how to,
you've said that before,
how to discern. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We have to know how to separate the wheat from the chaff. That's the important part. I also believe that people don't really want to fully communicate openly, because there will be a, if it comes to that particular point, that's the point where people are going to be afraid of really getting to the truth, because the truth might be from either one of the parties, I don't love you anymore, or I think we should see new people. So I think there's a barrier to actually openly communicating, but you have to get past it. You have to try to find out what is it you're saying, what is it that you really mean, and try to do it in a diplomatic way.
That's exactly what it was, because I said, do you understand the words that are coming from my mouth? So do you understand what I'm actually saying to you, from the man to the woman, or from the woman to the man? And if not, as Mr. Park said earlier, we need to communicate, because that's something that we lack in. We go off on a tangent or a tantrum or whatever you want to call it, and we don't communicate. And the next thing you know, I want a divorce. Right? But we didn't even get a chance to talk about what was bothering you. And see, I think that's one of our downfalls.
Well,
we're so fast and so quick to you know, dissipate something that's been going on for a long time, instead of talking to one another and airing out the conversation. We'd rather just give up, because it's so much easier. But is it really easier? Because then you're going to have to start the whole thing over again.
Good question.
Mm-hmm. It is very good question. The truth and reality is, you know, you go through life and you meet these wonderful people in your life, and you're like, oh yes, finally I got somebody, and they're here, they're there, and they're everything that I'm thinking that they are. And then all of a sudden, life hits, and this is
hits.
A problem.
Mm-hmm.
And I can, yeah, reality hits, and this is a problem that I can contest. Mm-hmm. Is you finally get work that one partner that you think will work. No matter what the situation is with that partner, he's like, whoa, I can make this work. And then all of a sudden life hits you. It doesn't matter what it is. Just life hits you. And instead of communicating to that person and saying, you know what, I love you, but I am going through this. And I need, I don't necessarily need your help, but I need your help. But I just need some input. Not guidance, input on helping me understand what I'm going through. From a man's point of view, that is, it's almost virtually impossible, because nobody ever taught me to ask my significant other for help. Nobody.
Oh.
Nobody ever said it. I figured that out on my own, but I am the biggest hypocrite on earth when I say that, because I am the one person,
okay,
if everything is going wrong in my life, nobody knows.
Uh-huh.
I'm still smiling, happy. Hey, here we go. Yeah, all right. Yeah, yeah, I got you. And everything behind me is going to hell. And
you know why that happens?
The unfortunate
I'm
side.
I'm sorry.
Hold on. Let him finish.
No, Joe. You listen, Joe. You my brother. I don't care whatever. I've never met you, but when I do, I promise you I'm going to give you a hug. And I don't care if you don't like hugs. But the truth is,
I like hugs. I like hugs from men also, as long as they're sincere.
Right.
Right.
That's
la.
What I'm talking about. But but the, you know, as you look at the bigger picture, I wish that 20 years ago, somebody could have said to me, "Yo, it's okay to discuss what you got going on with the person you're interested in." I wish somebody would have said that. Because even though I had to go through that battle by myself, that person that you're that is a part of your life doesn't sit there and go, well, damn, you didn't talk to me for 5 months.
well, it wasn't intentional. I just was fighting eight wars at the same time, and I couldn't necessarily give you the time that I needed to give you. That's how it goes. It doesn't make me less than a good man. I'm a good man. I just have a problem explaining life happened. And once if a man could communicate to a woman and say, hey, I have life, and a woman understands, not necessarily for them to completely understand your life, because a man's war is completely different than a woman. That is the truth on this earth. But if a man can communicate that I'm in the middle of a battle and I can't talk to you right now, that simple gesture would change the way that that woman looks at the fact that he's not communicating the things that he needs to communicate.
That's true.
And but there's, when I tell you I have lost some really good ones behind it, if I could go back and be like, yo.
I'm done with you. I'm done with you.
But there's a good reason why you act like that. And I'm not, and believe me, even though I kid around, I'm not pointing a finger at you. There's a very good reason. There have been books written about the burdens of being a man, because you were saying that you didn't feel that you could communicate that you needed help, and at the end of that, you meant help from your partner, your girlfriend at the time. But the thing is that we as men are trained not to do it, because if we do it, it indicates to the woman, consciously or subconsciously, that we are weak. We know that. So we don't ask women generally to help us, because if you ask them like two times, three times, four times, they're going to say, what is the problem with this guy? Yet a woman can ask us for help just about every damn day, because she's been taught she can do that. But a man, he has this problem of, we got to be men. That means we never show weakness. We never show vulnerability.
Never,
bullshit.
Never.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I forgot about
it.
To me, when a guy is like that and won't talk to me, it's like it doesn't make sense. It like doesn't compute to me. Like on the one hand, you say you love me, but on the other hand, you won't talk to me and tell me what the hell is going on with you. You know, and to me, love is being able to share those intimate things with each other. That's part of it, you know, your partners and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so I don't think that it's a form of weakness, but I do understand that men have been raised to be the strong, silent type. And yeah, you can be that way to a point, but you know, when you're to the I love you stage and you're in a relationship together and a partnership together, when the man doesn't talk to me, I feel like I'm being shut out and I'll start getting angry eventually.
Right.
Absolutely, but that's not intentional. It's not intentional at all in any way, shape, or form. Is that intentional? It's just from like Montana Joe just said, it has nothing to do. We are so afraid that if we come to you vulnerable, that you are going to look at us less than a man. And that's the way we've been taught.
No.
That's ingrained into our system.
Right.
And is that the truth? No, it's not. It's really not the truth, but the bigger picture in life, it's like standing in the middle of the arena. I want to look the biggest, baddest, and toughest that I am. But the truth and reality go ahead.
I'm sorry. Let me disagree with you for about a second. It is the truth, because when we do that, how many women do you know that you can actually be vulnerable with? I'm talking about even women that you have an in-depth relationship. Okay, there you go. And I'm sure that you've had dozens of not.
I'm one of them. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, I don't know if you're. I don't know. You know. Okay, fine. But I'm talking about.
I'll be honest with you. Inez is one of those very few that I can say I can be vulnerable, and she does not judge. I will give that out to Inez. There has been several occasions that I have been very vulnerable and said my piece, and she has came back and be like,
and
hey,
I just listened.
You're going to be okay.
But
you're gonna be
that's
okay.
A talk show host relationship. When it comes
I know,
to
right?
No,
one
no,
out of,
no, 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 Joe, it is not.
No.
I met him before
it is not.
The talk show.
Oh,
host.
I'm sorry. I
met
know.
Him way before.
Yes.
Excuse him once.
We met on
the
airplane,
which I never even knew about.
Yes, no.
Sorry about that guy.
No, yeah. See, we met on an airplane, as a matter of fact, or coming from one place to another. But and so we just
garnered a relationship since then. And that's how, what I've done to a lot of people.
Oh, okay.
I don't judge people. I don't judge people because, you know, I don't know your situation. But I, the one thing that I love to see a man cry because it shows he has, he is sensitive and he has sensitivity. I don't
I
want you
to
be all
serious.
Me? Quite often.
Have,
no,
yeah.
Seriously, quite often. My because my first husband, he, well, that was a different situation. But but no,
right.
But no, seriously, but it, but he was, he, you know, he was, that was a whole day. He's been married, he just got married the fourth time to a girl who I think is a year older than his daughter. So I don't have anything to say to him at all, period, right now. So that's a different story. But no, I mean, but in normal circumstances, men are people too. So why, you know, I know you're supposed to be strong, blah, 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 so on and so forth. But if you don't get it out, that's why people have PTSD. That's why they go on these shooting sprees. They don't get to express themselves like they need to, want
to, or have to.
Right. And then they are all pent up, and then you wonder, what's wrong with you? You know, then you go off on this tangent, and the next thing you know, all these people are laying dead on the ground. So I'd rather a man get it out and get his feelings out and tell me how he feels. I don't have to say anything. He can use me as a sounding board or whatever. But it's not fair, and I don't think that it's fair, that's just me, that they don't get a chance to be who they really want to be or
and
need
you know
to
something
be.
Else?
And know it. What's that?
I'll wait till you finish. Sorry,
I'm done.
The thing is,
I'm
if a woman can have that attitude. Now, I'm not talking about the man being a crybaby, okay, about every little thing, like, oh, the rush hour stuff.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, don't annoy the crap out of me by crying about everything. Yeah, like, if
right.
you cry more about stuff
no.
than I do,
so
then we're going to probably,
If he's going to actually come to you, right, with this condition, and he's going to try to use you as a sounding board and use you as a confidant. If he knows that if you've been there for him even 2, 3, 4 times,
correct,
that strengthens the relationship. That helps him to know that, you know what, I can be strong
and I am therefore confident
in my relationship. It helps.
Yes, yes.
It does.
And that's,
unfortunately, there are 7 billion people on this earth, and right now, I would say 6 billion of them do not believe in that.
Right.
The women have forgotten.
Yeah, you're right.
Women have forgotten that it's okay to understand the man that you're with, and you know, society says this man needs to be this, and this. Well, what happens when he is all of those things, but he has
can't
no outlet.
Be.
Right. It's impossible.
Exactly.
It is impossible. I am,
and
I can say this with the men that are on the phone with me right now because I'm amongst kings. I am an incredibly strong man. I can deal with 90% of whatever you bring to me, but it's that 10% that happens to show up whenever it does. That's when I need you to understand the man that I am. I can battle every dragon on this earth. I can battle every warlord, whatever it is that you bring to me. I got you. But there's that certain little point that I just can't. And that's when I need that woman to understand who I am as a man.
That's
I got you. I don't care. I do not care if you have no kids, 5 kids. I don't care if you're broke, if you're rich. I don't care about none of those things. None of that matters to me. What matters to me is when I am broken and I cannot figure out how to get myself up, I need you to reach over, grab me by my arm, and lift me up. I need you. But I can't tell you when that is. I cannot. Physically, emotionally, genetically, I cannot say to you, I need you to pick me up. I just need you to do it. And the second that I find a woman that can do that for me,
that mm-hmm. woman has nothing to worry about for the rest of her life.
And I think you bring up a good point too, that women need to learn how to open that door for men. You know, if you're with a guy mm-hmm. that is, you know, that doesn't want to be vulnerable, you know, you got to at least open the door and be like, honey, you know, put your hand around, you know, put your arm around him and be like, I know something's going on with you. I don't know what it is. If you're not ready to talk about it now, just know that just talk to me. I want you to talk to me, but talk to me when you're ready.
Mm-hmm.
And just having that type of open door, I think is a big thing.
You need to give classes. Because if a woman actually, truly,
right.
in that point in time, did that, you get
oh my
the ring
God.
Tomorrow. You get
oh
the ring
God.
Tomorrow.
You are. She's not kidding. I am telling you, Lori. You know, because now you guys know why I picked her as my radio wife. I never told her.
Damn
why,
right.
And I'm not going to because
she
has
a she's afraid of my ego.
Montana Joe, does she have a sister? I just need to see if she has a sister. Montana Joe, I need a radio wife, Dad. And can I get a radio wife, Montana Joe? I'm just saying. You picked the right one. Can you find me one, please? Radio wife. Inez,
if I do, I will. Yeah, if I do. Well, you've got Inez, but I'm saying there's very, very few women. Okay, we've been kidding around, but there's very, very few women. It's because of the conditioning that they have gotten from their mothers and their fathers, that they are princesses
mm-hmm.
without earning it. If you pick a man and that man picks you and you're supposed to be love partners, you're supposed to be there for each other. A woman does not have to fight the dragon. We do. So when
mm-hmm.
we come home,
yeah.
we're
right.
tired of fighting the bloody dragon. We need some good old fashioned loving. And Lori is absolutely
mm-hmm.
right. She is absolutely
yep.
right.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a man, because he's very reticent about discussing his feelings, if she shows him out of a hunch or because she is, you know, very, very well attuned to him, that, baby, I'm
exactly.
here for you.
That's
when
it
you're
right
ready,
there. That's it.
Right. Just exactly. And
mm-hmm.
in the way that she expressed it, you can talk to me
mm-hmm.
when you're ready. That
mm-hmm.
would mean, and just like, now. Just like, and just like what you were talking
tell
about,
the truth.
God,
ready
that,
now.
That means so much to a man.
Thanks.
It does. Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of women just get too pushy about it. Like, you know, if you're too mm-hmm. pushy about it, then that just closes them off. And I work the same way. You know, if somebody's pushing
mm-hmm.
me to talk about something that I'm not ready to talk about yet, I'm going to shut them down and I'm going to close up even more.
Right.
I try to operate how I feel. Why? Because we're both human beings. And what I get... when I get closed off to somebody because of what they're doing, they're becoming too pushy, then I got to expect that the same is going to be true if I'm doing that to my man, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so like lay off a little bit, open the door and then just lay the hell off, for a little while and let him, you know, talk to you when he's ready to talk to you. And sometimes he needs a little reminder, you know. A week goes by, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, you can still tell that he's got something weighing on him. Be like,
right,
hey, you know,
right.
are you doing okay? You want to talk? You know, I mean, a little friendly reminder that I'm here to talk when you're ready to talk. I know something's
mm-hmm.
up, and I'd love to know
right.
what's going on.
Exactly.
But, you know.
Exactly.
You know, let me let y'all in on a little secret. Let me let y'all in on a little secret.
Another one?
Most men. Yeah, yeah, it's a little. Hey, it's okay. You know, it's okay. If I lose it tonight, I just had to get it back tomorrow. But the truth and reality is, if you have to give a man an opportunity to talk about it, and it's not
mm-hmm.
the opportunity you think. When we get home from work, and we're
mm-hmm.
angry, we done battled these dragons
mm-hmm.
all day.
Mm-hmm.
We already when we walk in that door. We don't want to talk about it. We don't want to tell
mm-hmm,
you about
mm-hmm.
how the dragon blew fire down the back and burned all the booty hair off, all that. We don't want to talk about none of that. What we want to do is give us a few minutes. Just give us a little bit. An hour is
yeah,
perfect.
Yeah, decompress a little
30
bit.
Minutes
yeah.
is on the thing. Just give me a minute to yep. boost all this day. Think about what
mm-hmm.
the hell I survived. and come to me and give me an opportunity. That is your the most vulnerable minute, 30 minutes to an hour into an end of a man's day.
Mm-hmm.
At that end, 30 minutes to an hour, at that end of that time frame, when he gets home, give him that opportunity. You might not understand anything I have to say. I'm a builder. And I come to you and be like, these footers were 2/10 of a foot off and they didn't compact the earth and anything else. You might not understand anything that I have to say to you. I just need to talk about it. And that
mm-hmm.
little time,
yeah,
that little window where we're free and available to be vulnerable. It's not that we want to be vulnerable, but we have to be because we need to get this shit off our chest, or stuff off our chest.
Mm-hmm.
The truth and reality
mm-hmm.
is
both ways too.
Women,
like, you know, men seem to have, at least the men I've been with, like, I try to tell them like what's going on and they immediately want to try to fix it. And, you know, and that's the problem. Like, don't immediately try to fix everything. Just listen.
I just need to vent.
You know, like, I just need to get this shit flag out of my head. You don't try to fix it for me. Just let me get it out. Yeah.
Listen, you cannot give a man a problem and not tell him to fix it. That is how we're genetically wired. That is why it's a man's world. But it is nothing without a woman or a girl. We have to make the toys to make the women and the girls happy. Listen, you cannot give a man a problem and not expect an answer or a fix. If that's not what you're looking for, I'm sorry. You're not going to get that.
No,
because
wait a
you
minute.
Present
wait
a problem
minute.
To us. If you, from a man's point of view, if you present a man with a problem, we are genetically
mm-hmm.
wired to fix that problem.
Listen,
period.
Mr. James.
Because that's right.
Okay. Hold on. Wait a minute. She's absolutely no. You're right, but she's absolutely right. She's right too. Because yes. We are.
Right.
I don't know if we're genetically. I mean, we have this label that we're hunters and
yes.
and gatherers and all that kind of good stuff. However, okay, a woman, a man will at the beginning try to fix it, but a woman all she has to do,
mm-hmm.
and if they have enough trust with each other, between each other, she can say, "Can you hold on a minute, babe?" And I have a feeling Lorianne would be one of those types of women that, you know, would diplomatically say to her man, you know, hold on a minute, babe, because I know you want to fix it, but right now I just got to veg. And the man would say,
mm-hmm.
okay, whenever you're ready, I'll, you know, let me
absolutely.
Know when you're finished, and then I'll fix it if I can.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Am I right,
yes.
Marianne, or?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, you know, I work in IT support. It's been ingrained in me. I've learned to be a problem solver because I've worked in IT support. And so I even have to step myself back when somebody's talking to me about, you know, and venting their frustrations. And I have to try to hold myself back from trying to fix it and just sit back and listen. So, I mean, it's,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
I succumb to that as well, I'll admit. You know, my immediate response is to want to try to help a person I care for to help fix the problem, and it doesn't always work that way. It's just not what they need. They just like fix my shit out myself. But right now, I just need to talk about it and vent.
Yeah. Am I breaking
up? And the man who you're
connecting.
A lot of people. I don't know if you do, but somebody out there is coming back and forth. But a lot of times, if you are connected to your man and or your woman, I would think you would understand, you know, Lorianne, she's IT. Joe, he could be politics. Dustin is a construction. Mr. Parks, he's, you know, I won't say politics, but he's into helping young people. And so a lot of times you have to listen, like
community building
spoke
yeah.
about earlier, community, because then that way is like you already know the person who you're coming home to. You already know what kind of person there is. These what we're kind of talking about is like first time people, like getting to know people, because if you've been in a relationship for a while, you should understand and know your mate. And but if you don't know your mate, then you're not in tune with that person to begin with. So you may have to get in tune with them and figure out, okay, let's not talk about that right now because I can feel that they're not, their vibes are off or whatever. So that's one thing we have to get in tune, as we talked about earlier, with the person who we're supposed to be in love with and like with or what have you. And that makes a whole lot of difference because, like Dustin said, if he comes home to a woman and if she doesn't know, you know, him to give him that hour to let him, you know, be whatever, decompress, then she hasn't been in tune with him the whole time. I mean, if they've been together 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, it's like if you don't know and he said, you know, baby, I just need to decompress for about an hour. And if she keeps up, baby, well, I want you. Bruh, sis, look, I told you this is what I need. Then, you know, he either is not listening or they're just so into themselves that they just can't understand anything else that's going on around them. And so we haven't heard from Sergeant Parks. I know he's out there. You all right, Sergeant Parks? You just listen to the conversation.
Well, I mean, it's an incredible conversation, and that's the essence of what we see typically every day. You know, the hustling, bustling stuff of trying to get a relationship, trying to stay into a relationship is all of the above. Everybody hit it right on the head. You know, even though I'm going to lean toward the feminine side to say that you just have to go to the next point. And you'll know that. Mm-hmm. You'll know that. If you're with a person long enough to understand that, you can almost hear what they're thinking. And they know what's happening to you. That's a danger to a lot of men, okay? That's a danger to a lot of men because a lot of men, I'm just being real. You know,
right.
A lot of men and stuff don't want that. And like Justin said, it seems like they're vulnerable. They lose some kind of deal. Well, you know, being in this thing for so long, okay, I can tell you that it's absolutely nothing like having a relationship and stuff where that you can actually go talk about it, you know.
She's
feeling too good, and you know that she's not feeling too well and that she has something on her mind, okay, you're going to find a way to be able to do that. And then she's going to allow you to do that. Might take a little longer and stuff in some cases and stuff, but this is how well you have to know your mate, you know?
Right, exactly.
This is how well you have to know your mate. And men, just like everybody said, hey, men are just, hey, we're supposed to be strong. We're supposed to hold this up. We're supposed to do this. We're supposed to do that. And then I'm going to let my mate know that, oh, no, I'm not. And I'm crying. Ain't no telling how many times I've cried to my wife, you know.
First thing she would say,
she looked back at me and said, well, I love you despite that, you know. I love you despite that. No conversation that I'm going to have. I can't have, you know, with her. And that's part of making sure that when you go home, you're in the place and stuff where that's your cocoon. When you go home, when you have that kind of person and stuff waiting for you, that it's a cocoon. You just come in and close the door and say, wow, thank God I'm home. You know, every time we travel, go someplace and stuff, you know, when I get home, it's thank God we're home. You know, you will know that. You know, you just need to allow yourself to be able to give that part of yourself. And it took me so long to realize that. I think that I've been so hinged and stuff on trying to see everything that I want to see in the world, man. You know, I've been everywhere, seen that, done that, you know. And I was running from the very thing and stuff that I was saying, wow, this is going to be an anchor around my neck to be able to do that, you know. And I mentioned earlier in the conversation and stuff about my kids, you know, my three marriages and stuff, and about my kids that I am still able to, you know, they still rely on me and depend on me. You know, and any one of their mothers could have been that person, you know.
Right.
But, yeah, you got to put the work in. That's what I say. Put the work in and stuff. Some of the work we'll see as men and stuff is we're going to put our foot down on it. Well, there's more than one way to put your foot down. I'm telling you.
Okay.
Yeah. More than one way to put your foot down. Yeah. But it has to be in stuff that your home is serenity of your life and people around you, okay? People around you, they will know that, you know?
Right, right.
So you guys all are right. I would just shoot. You guys need to have BOC, MSNBC, and Fox News, and all of them. Maybe you can show people and stuff how you actually supposed to treat people, because it's all about.
That's a damn good idea.
It's all about relationships. Mm-hmm. You know, but we get to a point sometimes where we think, no, it's not. It's all about me. Okay,
mm-hmm.
It's all about me. So mm-hmm. nothing else matters. You know, and figure out why your wife and stuff want to get out and see somebody. I'm gonna tell you guys something for 3 minutes. My niece is in marriage 21 years. Okay, her husband is a giant of a man. He works in the trucking industry, makes good money, built a nice house. And her thing, her question was that he just don't do enough. Come to find out, oh well, she had a relationship for 10 years, you know, and then all of a sudden the guy that she had a relationship had to be married, and his wife and stuff pops up and tell the world, okay, now she on CNN, NBC, or on Fox News and stuff, you know, trying to explain, wow, your husband gave you everything. Then all of a sudden it wasn't enough, okay, because he was just too big and he was just too clumsy. Had a good head on the shoulder, got money in the bank. You see, so if then it's happening everywhere. You see that, wow, I got it made good. I can do anything I want. I got nice cars and stuff, and I can go shopping when I want to. And it goes to some people's head, both men and women, goes to some people's head and
mm-hmm.
stuff, and then that's what it's all about. It becomes about, okay, and she got 3 kids, and they still trying to wonder what the heck's going on that mom and dad is having a divorce, you know. So it's all about relationships. So I think any one of you guys and stuff would be able to tell her, you know, tell her the way it is and stuff. If you're not willing to tell the honest truth about what is taking place, you'll never find happiness in your life. If you're never able
mm-hmm.
to somebody and
mm-hmm.
stuff that you actually can rely on, and that's part of the biggest accomplishments that you'll have, to find somebody to do it. You know, that will listen to you and stuff, that genuinely has your concern. And that keeps a lot of people hopping and going to the next one and going to the next one and hoping that he's going to wake up in the morning and find out. Come to find out, he woke up in the morning, his purse gone, his credit card's gone, and oh, she got the car. She took the car, you know. Or she even took the car. You know, I opened up too soon and I'm pregnant by him and I ain't seen him in 2 years, you know. So relationships is what it's about. That's a worldwide issue, you know. So all of you guys are right, man. And I'm really, really fortunate enough to meet people, because I'm half the day I'm talking to people and stuff that think that I should go in there, I should be this way. Well, you've been married 25 years, don't you think that you should, you know, get a mediator. Get a priest, for Christ's sake.
Sometimes
get somebody get somebody that's gonna be able to keep, you know, the conversation on board, so that we can reach an end to it to see whether we're gonna null and void this relationship, or whether we can take it to the next level. And God forbid if you got kids. You got kids today, and then that most kids you'll find out that they're going in the streets and they're taking the first thing to come along, and the first gang that want to bang them in, and the first gang that want to bang them out, to try and do such horrible things, because they're saying, oh, well, this didn't work for my parents, so I don't care what I am. I don't care what I do. So this conversation is directed toward those people, those young people and stuff that still has to get along and has to surf this world. And we're not making it good for them. We're saying, okay, go sit in that corner and shut up. Don't do as I do. You do as I say. You see, so
this
is a beautiful conversation. I really like it. So, hey, thank you guys for all your input. Oh, and I'm writing it down. And, Joe, I really love you, man.
I wish all you guys would stop saying that. You know, because all you were sick. Okay.
Our next word is cool. I don't know what to say. Oh, that's cool. You know, that's cool.
And Joe, I think we have a feedback issue going on. You might have to call back.
Yeah.
Your feedback's drowning everybody out. My radio husband's feedback is notorious.
No, see, I put him on mute, so I'll unmute him when I feel like it.
He usually tries to call back though on his alternate number though, but yeah.
Oh, trust me. No, he knows, and he does. He knows because I do hear the sound in the background and what have you. And it's like okay, but he may call back if he does. But he's
sure
so funny. He cracks me up.
He'll be in trouble. But
no,
I
do.
Radio, like if he doesn't.
No, he's fine. I have him on mute, so. You're so funny. You're so funny.
I hope that he does because
no.
You're getting into a topic that
okay, now you're fading out on us. Lorianne?
Hello?
Okay,
hello,
back.
Hello? I'm back?
I can hear you. Mm-hmm. Yes. So, Joe, you may want to call back if you can hear us, because that was you with all that noise in the background. But this next word is cool, which equals when a man says it. I don't know what to say. Oh, that's cool. So what do you guys think about that word when a guy says cool or however? So I'm going to start with you, Lorianne. It equals I don't know what to say. That's what it says here. Lorianne?
Well, I think it definitely depends. Sorry. It depends on context, again, and how they say it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh, cool.
Okay.
Different than
mm-hmm.
cool. Like,
mm-hmm.
cool can
mm-hmm.
be indifferent.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't have a problem with it, but... You know, like that's basically what it means. I don't have a problem with it in certain tones. You know what I mean?
But listen, Lorianne, listen to what it is. When they say cool, it equals I don't know what to say. That's what this list is saying at that point. Do you agree with that? That's what they say. So the fellows may have to answer first. Because they say cool equals I don't know what to say. Okay, that's cool. All right.
Well, yeah,
Justin,
it all depends upon the context. It all depends upon the context.
He's back. Yes, it does. It does. And a lot of these things.
I hear it as I don't have a problem with it, but don't really have
mm-hmm.
an opinion one way or the other.
Okay.
Type of thing in a lot of cases.
Okay.
But it all depends. But then they're like, oh, that's cool. That means like, hey, I really like that idea. And, you know, or hey, I really like
mm-hmm.
that what you brought up. You know, it all depends on how you say it.
And I think in the context of what they're saying here is, oh, cool, because he doesn't have an answer. So what he answered was cool. Like, okay. Like you
in
said,
that
it's
case,
all context.
Mm-hmm. It just means whatever. I'm putting myself back on mute before
exactly.
the choppiness starts again.
No, you're fine. You're good. You're
good.
Yeah, you're good right now. You are good. Dustin? He may be taking care of a situation. You there? Justin? Mr. Park? Mr. Park?
I think that's Dustin. He's low volume. Either he or Sergeant Parks is on low volume.
No, I think Dustin may be talking to he may be talking to his kids. Hold on, let me see.
All right. Well, in the meantime.
Okay.
Is he here? Oh, he's still waiting? Okay.
No, you go ahead,
Joe. In the meantime, yeah. All right. From the time that I got in here till now, this has been a good discussion on one of the most fundamental elements of a relationship is the listening aspect, Lorianne and I. Oh, is Dustin back?
Mm-hmm.
I can let him.
Mm-hmm.
Dustin, you want to talk with James?
He may be talking to his kids in the background.
Oh, okay.
He may be
so
Lorianne
James
and
I were on a show. And we were talking
James?
About the very same thing about how important listening is.
Mm-hmm. Southern Park?
Okay. All right. So I just stopped there in case anybody else wanted to come in. But that's it.
Mm-hmm.
I think you only got, a few minutes left to the show, right, Inez?
I can do what I want to do. I can go 3 hours, a whole another hour if I want to.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
that's
cool.
It's up to me. It's my show, so.
I was about to ask the same thing.
Right.
Are you 2 hours live or are you 3 hours live?
I do whatever. If it's going good, I'll do, I start out with 2 hours, but if the conversation's going real good and if you guys are West Coast, I go longer. I mean, if somebody on the East Coast wants to hang up because it's getting to be 11, 12 o'clock, that's fine. But it's my show, so I do what I want to. So I've set it for 3 hours.
It's my show
I will do what I want to.
You two get together and sing Leslie Gore, okay? That sounds good. Yeah, it's my party and I'll do what I want to. Okay.
Yeah,
right.
It is
both
my party.
She's for real,
guys.
Justin,
are you back? Okay. Sergeant Parks is back. Justin, are you back? Not yet. Yeah, but no, because, I mean, we need to have this discussion because a lot of people shy away from discussions like this and they don't want to be heard or, you know, you can be anonymous. It doesn't make a difference to me. But the thing is, it's communication. If we don't communicate, we'll never know how another person feels or we don't know what they're feeling. Even if we may have to wait an hour or something, let that person, like I say, decompress. You know, I was going to say decompose, but decompress. And, you know, until they can get to the point where they can speak to you without either screaming, hollering, or whatever. But it's like Dustin said to me, I mean, we've had conversations where I've just been quiet and he's just, you know, relayed whatever the issue is. Because, you know, sometimes people don't have other people to talk to. And I'm trying to get this show to be at that point where people – will let down their head. Like I said, they could be anonymous or what have you. They could say, I'm Missy Boo from You Know Who, and I'm okay with it. But these are the kind of conversations that we need to get out to the masses because when you don't, things like these mass shootings happen. Things like suicide happen. Things like, you know, runaway kids, all kinds of things happen. And if they just
You're right.
have someone to talk to, you know, it wouldn't be so bad, but you know, or they get bullied or what have you, and so they don't want to talk to anybody because they're just going to get bullied all the way down the line. And so when I have my show, Let's Talk About It, I don't have to say anything. And as Lorianne, as you see, I let a lot of times let everybody just talk because they have good points and I don't want to cut them off, even though I may need to bring them back into what the show's about. But I don't care. Oh, shut up, lady. Got y'all. It's supposed to be another hour, but what was I going to say? But I don't care because I like to let people get things off of their chest because this may be their only outlet at some point in time, and it's okay. And so
That's why I say, hey, let's talk about it. I don't have to talk about anything. And if you want to cry on the show, go ahead. Let the tears fall. Just put yourself on mute. But, you know, sometimes I want to be that person.
What are you talking about?
You can
cry but put yourself on mute. What kind of help
you know,
is that?
I mean, I'm saying, you know, I'm just saying you may not, okay, you may not want Mr. Parks to hear you cry, so you're going to put yourself on mute, you know. You may not, you know what I'm saying? So that's all I'm saying is just go ahead and, you know what I'm saying? Go ahead.
Oh, I know what you're saying now. I thought you were kidding around. I thought you meant, in a way, you know, you can cry. You can come to the show and you can cry and express yourself. But don't let anybody hear.
No.
And the whole show is about how people should listen.
No, that's what I'm saying, because a lot of times people don't, you know, they get a little sensitive or a little, you know, whatever. But I'm okay. I mean, even if it's just me, because earlier it was just Mr. Parks and I, and then Lorianne came on, and then Dustin came on, and then this guy named Montana Joe came on. And then we have this person from Denver area come on as well.
This guy named Montana Joe. Yeah, just this guy.
Yahweh.
Hey, you know Ed
okay,
Joey too. All right, Joey.
I'm going to get everybody calling you that. Joey.
I know.
Oh, I'm going to Joey you.
But the next one is, I don't know. That means I'm changing the subject. I don't know. You know, I'm changing the subject. Is that how you guys, you know, I'm just going to, with you guys. So let's start with Lorianne. If someone says, I don't know, and I guess, again, it's context. So a lot of these things have to end up being with context. But, I mean, if you're in a conversation and you know what the context is about and he says, I don't know, you know, I don't want to talk about it. Let's change the subject. I don't want to hear any more about this, blah, 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 blah. And so how would you all say?
But in, yeah,
I don't.
In that context, it is. In that context?
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
Yeah, in that context, I want to reiterate something that Dustin was talking about when he was jokingly, but more seriously than jokingly, was talking, when he was talking to Lorianne and said, you know what, if guys knew that you had that type of quality where you could put your arm around somebody and allow that person to speak, be vulnerable at their discretion, right? That she would have a marriage proposal with every boyfriend she went out with. And if I had a show, and I would love to have a show if I had one. I have a half hour show, probably 15 minutes now. But I would make a show about what is it that women bring to the table versus what men bring to the table and the expectations that both have. And the reason why I bring that up, because it just occurred to me, was the fact that if women were to show up and say, well, we bring this to the table, thinking that this is what men want from them, 90% of women would get it wrong. They would think that the qualities that they bring, that they think starters a relationship, are the wrong qualities. Men are not looking for what they think men are looking for. And if I had a show, I would schedule it, but I don't have a show. So, okay.
Well,
15-minute show.
Now
thank
you
for Blog Talk Radio.
Because we did talk about that. We did talk about, you know, what do you bring to the table? Because I don't know if you were on that day, but we did talk. We did have a show about, you know.
I don't remember being on.
What do you bring to the table?
Yeah, Joe.
No, you were
on that show, Joe. You were on that show, definitely.
I was on that show? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I don't remember. But okay. Yeah.
That was the second thing that I disagreed with you on. You know.
That was the first time I was here talking about relationships. And everybody thought I was a madman. Oh, I remember that. Now all of a sudden you guys love me.
That wasn't the first
time.
That wasn't the first time, but that was one time.
We didn't think you was a madman. We just say, wow, you know. Like, and then I think we asked, so, well, when was the last time you was in a relationship like that? And it's been a number of years. And they said, that's interesting. You know, but we talked about that.
Yes, we did. What do you bring to the table? And Dustin was saying, he had brought something else as far as, you know, I don't want to say it. It was interesting. I'll have to tell you which one it was. I'll go back and look and see which one.
He brought everything to the table. She didn't need anything. And then Joe
right.
disagreed. You know, she had to have some certain qualities and stuff.
Something.
And I kind of agreed with Joe on that. Before there came, but once two hearts meet, I guess this is where my part came in. Once two hearts meet, man, you know, you're gonna accept whatever it is that the other person has, whether they have it or not, whether they have materialistic things or not, you know.
Whether you want to be bothered with them, type of thing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and Joe was like, "Wow, like she's gonna have to be there. She's gonna have to match what I'm
match
doing.
What I
absolutely
no, mm-hmm. you do
and
that.
Maybe
mm-hmm. that's what you said.
Did I miss the part? Do you remember this? Because I have a saying. It's I don't need a woman to live with me in my mansion. I need a woman to be with me in my park bench. Did I say that? Because that sums up pretty much.
That was you.
I did. Okay.
That was you.
Okay.
I wrote it down somewhere, guys. I wrote it down somewhere.
It was on June 14th. It was on June the 14th is when we had that show. Mm-hmm.
But that was an excellent discussion because we're still talking about relationships, you know.
Yes.
We're still talking about relationships, and we're still talking about why this world is in, well, this part of the world is in such
a needless place.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just, it's,
yeah,
just
took
the
words out of my
mouth. And then I think, Joe, this is what we talked about when you said that you want to crucify politicians, that, you know, my comment was, oh, well, once they get elected to office, then they can do what they want to do. And you said that you couldn't wait.
To have a conversation with a politician.
Yeah. I remember that, man. It keeps running through my mind. I said, wow.
We got to vet them properly, but I agree with what you and Inez were talking about. Relationships are so important. It doesn't matter who you are. If you're born on this planet as a human being, you need another human being. You may not have
right.
it. You may not.
And,
you can maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. You're fine. Go ahead.
And, you know, you may be content to not have one. I mean, there are plenty of people like myself who are single, and I would rather be single than go from, you know, chick to chick to chick to chick just to be disappointed. But
right.
the thing is
right.
when we do find somebody who is there for us, We're not gonna let it go. Baby, you're not going anywhere.
No.
If I have to change my deficiencies, correct my deficiencies in order for you to stay, then you're staying because I'm correcting those deficiencies.
And Joe, can I ask you a personal question? You can or cannot answer it. It's totally up to you.
I do not answer personal questions because they always lead into more personal questions. But if you want to ask me something about my philosophy in that, no problem.
Okay. No, because you say, you know, you don't have to, but it'd be nice to have a person in your life, you know, that you don't have to go from chick to chick to chick to chick. I was going to ask you, and it's personal, and you say, I don't want to answer, and that's fine with me. You know, the relationship you have with your mother, because a lot of times it starts with the mother. If they don't have a relationship with their children and they kind of, you know, feather them off like chicks do to biddies, and they don't have a relationship with them, then that makes it harder for a person to have a relationship with someone else down the line. That's all I'm saying. You don't have to answer that. Mm-hmm.
But I know where you're going.
That's all I'm saying.
And I see your point.
Okay.
Right. Because a lot of people feel that same way. But when you talk to psychologists or read books about it, it's not necessarily the mother or the father. Yeah, they have a strong impact, but isn't it also true? Okay, the assumption is that if a man had a bad relationship with his mother, he therefore is going to continue to have bad relationships with women, and if a daughter has a bad relationship with her father, She therefore is going to have bad relationships with men. But isn't it also true that the conditioning that men get as to become gentlemen, and the way that we should, quote unquote, treat women according to the you know, the norms of society, I think that has a greater impact. So I think that also the way women are raised in order to be princesses, not just by the mothers and fathers, but by society in general, that that also adds to the destruction of a relationship. That's why, as Mr. Parks was saying, and Dustin was saying, and you were saying, and Lori was saying, and I was saying, to talk about relationships, to talk about the depth of what a relationship should be, is extremely important so that we can know what are the obstacles to that relationship.
Right. And then that way you can face them together and move the obstacle out the way.
And I think not only acknowledging what the obstacles are, but being willing to accept that you yourself might be a part of that obstacle and try to work on changing that. You know, if you're a normally closed off person and you don't open up and you're afraid to be vulnerable or afraid to commit, then you're the obstacle in the relationship for moving forward. And you have to be willing to
I can accept that.
She is so right.
And that's true.
Yeah, she is so right.
And that's true.
I agree with that statement because, see, some of the really upstanding women I met all over the world and stuff, you know, you didn't have to really talk to them, but it was the way they carried themselves, you know. And when they actually spoke, you could feel what they're saying and stuff, you know. And then a lot of men don't understand it. They'll take this one sign. This woman could actually be falling toward them, and they would say, "Oh no, I don't think so." You know, that seems like some place that I don't really want to go. You know. But yeah, you know, I think it kind of works both ways, in the sense that men. Or, you know, we are gullible to a point, okay? And that is, you know, the subtle ways in which relationships and stuff turn, especially if it's in a period of dating, you know, months and sometimes even years, okay? And sometimes we become complacent, and then all of a sudden you get married, and then 15 days later, oh, my God, what I got into, you know.
Right, right.
So you know, it's clear to me that you just have to take the time to get to know somebody, you know. It doesn't hurt to know where they're from or where you know, what led you guys, you know, to coming to the point instead of the urgency of wanting to just, let's just hook up and let's fly to Paris, you know. Then you get to Paris and stuff, and you say, oh, my God, we done flew all the way over here, you know. So
we
just have to have, and it evolves when we're having discussions like this. It's okay to take your mate down and sit down. What I try to do is I try to listen to my wife, you know. and I'll come in and stuff, you know, even if what she's saying is kind of corny and it's way out, you know, from what her parents and what her dad and her mom and stuff was coming up with. I'm saying, okay, all right, no problem. If that works, then that's what we'll do, you know, just for the sake of not destroying what she's thinking about. And then later on I might come up and say, baby, you know, when you talk about that was kind of corny, you know. And she'll say some stuff like, oh, we're not using corny. We don't use that no more. You know, the last time we used corny was like in the 80s, you know. But you just really, it's a work in progress. If you want a good relationship, then that's what you have to do.
Right.
But the part about that is get to know that person and stuff. So at least you can part as being friends, and I have a lot of women friends, man, that call me from there. Well, how you doing? How you doing and stuff? And now my wife used to get the ass. Somebody call at 2 o'clock in the morning, like Sharon. Sharon used to call me 2 o'clock in the morning. What she doing? Call me 2 o'clock in the morning. So, well, she.
Well, I don't blame her for that.
She needs to talk to somebody. You know, she just needs to talk to somebody. It's not nothing, no emotional feelings and stuff, you know, going on and stuff. But, you know, and then what I do on a day-to-day basis, reconfirm that. What she do on a day-to-day basis, reconfirm, you know, my mm-hmm. opinion and stuff is why I married her. You know, so it's deep, you know.
And saying you have that understanding with your wife, and, you know, those are people who knew Sharon, because she's called me at all times of the morning. It's like, I got to sleep. So, you know, it's like she, but that's another story for another day. That's
just well, why would they do that? I can understand.
That, like I said, that's
know,
another
story.
That's
there.
Another story for
oh,
another
okay.
day.
Oh, okay, story.
That,
all right.
Just,
well, so getting back.
I know exactly, so I can't wait to have that story and stuff because she was misunderstood and she was really running from herself, you know, and running from the past. Sharon was running from the past, okay, because we had these conversations. She used to talk about stuff 25 years ago, you know, and why different people didn't relate to her, you know. I was saying, oh, my God, you know, but that's a different story.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
But see, you touched on something which is important, because not only are the obstacles that we have talked
uh-huh.
about just briefly in the way of a relationship, such as we may not want to take a look at ourselves and change those particular flaws. If we can do that, then you have two people, if they're willing to do that, who, you know,
uh-huh.
should be able to match up. But when you have a person who doesn't let go of the past,
right,
and she or he allows that past to interfere with the present, then they really need to take a look at themselves. And if they can find somebody who's willing to listen and help them get over the past, that would be terrific.
And that's another thing, like
yeah.
I said, that's another story for another, because some people, Mr. Parks and I, we could talk about her, you know, and she just had things that were going on, and so, you know, she was stuck back there because of things that had gone on, and so that, like I said, that's another story for another day. But good person, but she was stuck. And like my brother, he's stuck in the 70s as well, but he has dementia, you know. So some people just have mental
issues.
Oh, that's
a legitimate medical excuse. Yeah,
right, right, you know. So and, you know, so that's what happens. And so a lot of times not everybody knows the person's situation. So I would sit there and I would listen a lot of time. I mean, we'd be on the phone 8 hours at a time sometimes. And it was, you know, because she was afraid. So I'd be there listening. You know, she'd call, you know, saying that, you know, she was scared or what have you. But, you know, I would sit there and I would listen. And when I could, if I didn't just go to sleep or have to get up or whatever, or I'd call her, you know, knowing I'd get myself together, get together whatever I needed to do, because I knew I was going to be on the phone with her for a while. Because, you know, like I said, that's another story for another day. So today we're talking about he says, she says. And so one day we're going to be talking about mental issues and mental health, and that's another story, you know, and thing, people who are stuck, you know, and it's sad.
Oh, I got a story.
Some people don't. Okay. Some people don't have a lot of people to reach out to, and so that's another reason why I have this, you know, this day, you know, let's talk about it, because I may be the only person somebody may speak to. Mr. Parson and I may be the only people on the line, but then you don't know who else is out there listening to the conversation we have. Even though they may not talk to us, they are still listening and still feeling connected to somebody, even though they don't say anything. but sometimes people don't have any other outlets but maybe listening to the radio, as you would have older people. That's all they have. They would only have the television because the television didn't talk back, but that's all that they have. So all they have is what's closest to them. And it's really hard to, you know, let go a lot of times and help people because you don't know what they're going through, so you just have to listen to what they're saying. And you got that noise again, Joe. There you go. So
that wasn't me.
Lori,
that
Ann,
was on
you out there with?
Oh, that is Hold on. That is your notorious feedback.
you don't hear it now.
It's your signature.
Yes, it is. I don't know what it is. I think it's his line. But see, I have him muted, and you don't hear it. See, as soon as I unmute him, I bet you'll hear
don't
it.
Don't mute
yep,
me,
see,
man.
That's,
I can't call back in.
But,
I'll mute myself, all right? Because if you mute
okay, go
me,
ahead. Yeah.
I cannot call back in. I have to mute myself like I'm doing now, all right? Okay?
All right, Liz, we can take it for a few more
all
minutes.
Right. Oh, sometimes people mute other people and then they forget to get back like you used to do.
No.
So
no,
I'm going to mute myself.
No. I didn't. No, go ahead. Yeah. No, whenever you want to speak, go ahead and unmute yourself because, like you said, I just mute yourself for a second
fine.
Just to see if the lines to see who has all that background noise. So, I don't know. Dustin, are you still out there with us?
That's me, probably.
See, I don't know if he's still out there or not.
I
heard somebody say from 50 miles away, what's going on?
What's up? Yeah, I heard them too, so he may still be listening. But anyway, so the next thing is I'm busy, which equals I'm not into you. So, you know, you may have a date or something with somebody, and it's like, oh, I'm busy. It's like, oh, how can I get rid of her? I don't know what to do. It's like, oh, man, what do I say? I just don't want to be bothered with her. I really don't like her. It says, but I really like you. I really don't like you. So, Mr. Parks, when you were younger and you would say, I'm busy, did that mean I'm not into you or you were actually busy?
Well, If I used that when I was younger, then it was definitely a dodge. You know,
okay.
So that means that if I use that word, it was definitely a dodge. Well, you know, I don't have time, so I mean, I'm
so it is.
I'm
it guilty. Is, you're not in. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's okay if you're not that into a person. That's okay. That's quite all right, because honestly, evidently, that's what it means is on the man card, I guess you could say. I'm not into you.
I mean, it's not a dodge either.
Mm-hmm.
When you say to somebody, I'm busy, I'm busy being not into you. I'm busy doing something other than being with you. So that's the truth.
I'm busy with someone else, otherwise, is what you're saying.
That's right.
I'm
busy.
Funny.
Yeah.
I'm busy and I got company at this present and stuff, you know, so I'll check you later.
Or if at all.
I'm busy.
I'm busy keeping my options open.
Yes.
Yeah,
there
right.
you go. Y'all so funny. Y'all so bad. So, Lori Ann,
see,
so
that's the
have
point
you ever
where,
heard that
yeah.
I'm busy?
Yeah, I mean, I've used it. I'm guilty, you know, if I really just
oh,
wasn't up for
it.
Seeing the guy. I've been like, okay, I'm busy. But I think at a certain point in the relationship, like if I truly am busy, I will explain what I'm busy with. Like, I'm sorry, I'm busy,
okay.
I have to work late, or I'm sorry, I have to go and help my friend because she's got this freaking thing going on. Or I will say why I'm busy if it's legit, you know what I'm saying? But it's like, oh, no, I'm busy, call me later. If I leave it short like that, then that means I'm not interested in being around right now.
Got it. Gotcha. Okay.
So yeah.
No. No. If we're in a relationship and I call you and you send me the voicemail or you pick up the phone and say I'm busy, I need the whole dissertation. The whole entire dissertation on why you busy and why we not doing it. If we're in a relationship. If we just friends, okay, cool. But if I've already told you I really like you or I love you, and then you come with that I'm busy with somebody else, I need right then, I don't know if you know that men need the reassurance. I need you to be like, I'm with my mama, and we crocheting a whole pillow for the president. That's the stuff I need to know. But if you just tell me I'm busy, you're going to get pulled up.
Right there with you.
Can I help you crochet?
Because, yeah, if I'm legitimately busy, I want to let the other person know why it is I'm busy. Like, okay, I can't talk right now because I'm in the, you know, knee deep in this or that, and I don't want the other person to feel like I'm just brushing them off.
You better knee deep me. You better knee deep me.
Then that means, yeah, I'm brushing you off. You know?
But Justin, what it was it said, he says, I'm busy, and then it equals, I'm not into you, is what it means. That's what
no,
we were saying.
No.
Why.
It's context behind that, and it's where we are in relationship.
Right. And that's everything that we've been talking about is all about context. Correct.
Yeah. Listen, I can tell the truth on this one. I have a friend of mine. I have a friend of mine, and we cool. Uh-huh. She's an awesome person. She texted me simple things, and I did not respond. It wasn't because I didn't want to respond to her. I was just going through life. I mm-hmm. hope she understood where I was coming from, but that was not the case.
Uh-huh.
It's the same way I feel,
okay.
Hypocrite, and I'm calling myself a hypocrite. Because if the role had been reversed, oh, no. Oh, mm-hmm. No, Ninja, why are you not answering the phone? I need you to answer the phone
ninja.
Right now and tell me. Because you being, you know, the reason why I say ninja, because it's that sneaky. That's that sneaky part mm-hmm. of life. Like, why are you being so
right.
sneaky? You ain't got to be sneaking with me. No.
So
just tell me the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But once again, hypocrite. For me, I was just going through so much I could not respond. Now,
right.
oh, I'd be afraid mm-mm. to see her mm-mm. in person right now. I had to call like a wrestler or something just to protect me, because there's nothing
oh,
I can
Lord.
Really say that. But
oh,
if you
goodness.
Do that to me, mm-mm.
Mm-hmm.
No, we need. Mm-mm.
It's a whole different
better,
story.
Mm-mm. No, oh, absolutely, hypocrite. I don't care, double standard,
oh,
whatever you want to call it.
Dustin mm-hmm. is absolutely right. If you're in a relationship, both of you owe each other some sort of explanation.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
Explanation.
Call me back.
So,
yeah.
Okay. You're okay. You're alive.
Okay.
Thank you very much. But why can't you talk?
I need more. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I need a few seconds to feel better. Because if you hang up, I'm busy and I'll call you back. Mm-mm. I'm thinking the worst of all the worst ever.
Scenario.
Ever.
Mm-hmm.
And you mm-hmm. probably are not doing a tenth, 100% of what I'm talking about.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay.
I'd like to throw a question
right.
out there to the panel. A lot of people
okay.
believe that communication is the quote-unquote key. And the assumption behind that is that if you actually have this good communication, that it will somehow solve the problems in the relationship. I happen not to believe that. What do you guys think?
Okay, first off, why? I'm going to ask you why.
Okay. The reason is because even though you can be directly honest, straightforward as much as you want with the other person, right? You have communicated whatever you want. They've communicated back to what they want. But that doesn't mean that they want to continue with not only the communication, but with the demand.
I can't hear you, Joe.
It's real hard because you got that noise.
I mean, my app is still interfering. Okay, let me try to make
now
it as short as possible.
Now I can hear you good.
That was a little better.
Now you're getting better.
Yeah, I can hear you better.
It's because it doesn't solve the problem. Because a lot of times, people, like I said before, you may want to get down to the nitty-gritty. One person doesn't want to get down to the nitty-gritty because that might mean he or she is going to reject you. So they're going to do what they can to continue with the roundabout way. So communication is not the key. It doesn't solve problems unless both people are willing to overcome the obstacles and also realize that they have deficiencies. We all think we're perfect. But I have to tell you, the only person on this line as perfect as me. Okay? You all love me still?
I love you, even though you think you're perfect and you're not.
Speaking because you believe what you're saying, okay? You know, I can feel it. So yeah, I agree with what you're saying and stuff. You know. So you don't got to be for real, but, you know, you got people like in the context of, you know, I'm busy.
About.
And stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So what does that mean? Does that mean that this is that we just have occasionally booty calls? Okay, that don't sound like a real relationship to me.
No.
It sounds like something that, what do you call that, friends with BNEs or something like that?
Been a friend.
Yeah.
Been a friend.
You know?
Been a friend. That's what they are. Been a friend.
You know, Joe and I have talked about this before, about it's not just about communication. It's also about, I think, like, probably 90% of the fights that you have with your partner or your spouse is, number one, not communicating your expectations, and number two, not getting the other person to agree to it. So you get upset because somebody fails to meet your expectations, and you get upset with them about it, but you have to ask yourself, did I communicate this expectation to my partner? And number two, did they agree with it? And if those two elements are not there, then you really don't have any right to be upset about it. And if so, I think a lot of the fights that happen is exactly that way. That was never communicated and never agreed upon. Mm-hmm. And so, therefore, the fight happens. They're upset, all because of not communicating and not agreeing to it.
Okay. So basically what you're saying, Loanne, is you need to have some type of I won't say a treaty, but at least you got to talk to each other and say, okay, this is how I feel, or this is what I mean. You know, do you understand the words that are coming from my mouth, like I said earlier? And if not, let's talk about what you don't understand. That way you can get an understanding, and there won't be any repercussions, and, you know, you'll know exactly where I'm coming from. I'll know exactly where you're coming from. We can meet in the middle, and everything's hunky-dory.
Exactly. And then you have the right to get upset when the other person that agreed to that expectation fails to do it. Then you have the right to be upset. You know, like you're dating in a relationship or whatever. So I'm setting the expectation that I'm going to say, you know what, I'm not going to see anybody else. I don't want you to see anybody else. I want to be exclusive. And you got to communicate that to somebody. And then that somebody has to go, okay, yes, I'm willing to do that. Or no, I'm not ready yet. I still want to see other people. It opens up the door for that communication so that nobody is failing to meet each other's expectations. And like what was said earlier, if you're the type of person that you need a half an hour to decompress when you come home from work before you start talking about heavy stuff, that is something, number one, to communicate with your partner, and number two, ask your partner, are you willing to do that? Will you give me that half hour that I need instead of talking with you? But don't bombard me the minute that I walk into the door with all this crap that, you know, that you expected me to do or whatever, or all these problems. And, you know, and like all of those things kind of come into play. You can use that in just about every single example of every single fight you almost ever have. It usually boils down to a failure of expectations and expecting somebody to live up to your expectations that you did not communicate and you did not agree on.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right. And this sounds like a couple, that don't have children. So if there were even children involved, can you imagine what the situation would be? You come in, oh, you need to take little Larry, you know, because I've had little Larry all day and I just need some time to myself. It's like, well, dang, Gina, let me get in the house first. Can I take my shoes off? Can I put my lunch box down? Can I go to the bathroom? Can I have a moment to myself? So you can imagine, if you don't have good communication skills, sorry, Joe, before or during or while you're in this relationship or going to be in a relationship, it's doomed from doomsday, from day one. I know Joe has something to say.
No. I was just saying you're right. Laurie's right. Because, for example, the example that Tia brought up is a good example. There are times when men and women, if they're dating for 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 weeks in a row, 2 months, they start thinking that because the other person carved out time for them 6, 8 weeks in a row, that they now belong to one another. And if they now find out on the 9th week, 10th week, 11th week, that the other person is dating another girl or another guy, they might feel betrayed. They don't have a right to feel disappointed. They don't have a right to feel betrayed because nobody agrees to that expectation.
Right.
You're right.
Exactly.
If that's the ground,
that's
if
right.
you set the ground rules up and both people accept the ground rules, you're doomed to it. If your feelings change later, then you still need to go back and establish that. Okay, so
right.
you did A, B, C, and D. This is where I am at this point. Okay, this is what I feel.
Exactly.
I think we need to go jump the broom, right? In the next 3 months, we need to jump the broom. You know? I mean, if that's the case. If it's not the case, then you sell it. So the only other thing is to just cut the relationship. Just cut it. You know, don't keep wasting people's time, especially if the expectations that you guys agreed upon is not being met. And then that's what happens.
Right.
That's why you get people that, okay, so we're going to stay together and they keep hating each other. Every little thing that happens and stuff, you have these arguments and the neighbors start calling the police and stuff. It's a domestic situation and stuff, you know? But before it gets to that, you gotta have that conversation,
right? And then if that's the situation, you're gonna start stepping out on each other, and it's like, I thought we had an agreement, you know, to communicate, to talk about it. If we talk about it, we wouldn't be in a situation. I wouldn't be stepping out. You wouldn't be stepping out. And then, you know, oh, I'm busy now. You know, all this other stuff is going on. So, you know, it's that. You got to be honest with each other as well, you know, not only, you know, just communicate, but be honest, you know. If you're not feeling me and I'm not feeling you, there's no sense in sitting there, you know, wasting time, precious time, because people aren't getting younger. They're not doing the Benjamin Button thing, so they need to either, you know, skedaddle or you know, change the channel. But don't sit there and be watching the TV and be playing the same channel and, then all of a sudden you want to change channels and it's like, oh no, it's my turn to have the remote. Go somewhere for that. I'm in charge.
That caused a lot of homicides, you guys, if you think about it. A lot of homicides and caused behind that. You know, oh, this is what this is what we agreed on, and then all of a sudden it didn't happen, and you go find that,
mm-hmm.
first of all, you start stalking. You say, okay, I know she's cheating on me. You know, you go find her and stuff, and it gets so overwhelming that you just happen to bring a 45 caliber in your capital.
It just happened, yeah.
Still
that cap. Or suicide, one or the other, because, oh, he don't want me no more, and I'm not any good for him, and it's like, the next thing you know, it's like, you know, so one way or another, things, you know, if you're not a strong person, seems like it winds up in death of somebody, you know, not the death of the relationship, but the death of a person.
Joe,
what are you going to say?
When I was on the show, and I laid out that methodology of mine, if you're going to get into a relationship, you take out a piece of paper, write out what you like about each other, what you don't like about each other,
right.
And you can write out a situation both of you can discuss to emphasize the kind of expectation that you have. Yeah, these expectations and the communication about them and the acceptance of them is so important.
Joe, you're going to have to get a different app because this is that's noise is just there. Sorry.
Yeah, I will. The next time I call in, I'm going to call in on my other app. Sorry.
Okay. No, you're fine. You're fine. But, I mean, you have good information, but it's just hard to hear you behind the other noises coming on. So, okay. So the next one is work is crazy equals I'm dumping you. So basically is what we were saying, you know, work is crazy, you know, all this stuff is going on, and all of a sudden you guys aren't just, you guys are just fussing and fighting. You say, oh, I'm dumping you. So what do y'all have to say about work is crazy equals I'm dumping you? I know it's context, but go ahead.
Well, I'll go first, and I think that's a lot of times it's foreseen what's taking place. You
mm-hmm.
need to go back over. You need to go back over what is taking place in the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Normally it's going to be, oh, I was working late, you know, then I can't, and then I was out with the boys, or, you know, excuses that you're going to make up for not being reliable, Joe, coming home at this certain time, or being on time for the date or whatever, you know. So, I mean, it happens, so you need to realize, that and look at those indicators. Pick up the indicators say, oh, yeah, well, this happened once. Okay, it can happen once, but it'll start happening twice and three times. Something definite is taking place. So you got to call it on the table.
That's true. Lorianne?
Yeah, I mean, as usual, context is everything. You know, if it, you know, I've had a job where, it legit was crazy. And it's literally like I just don't have time for almost anything else. And it's not that I want to break up with you. It's nothing personal or anything. But I, you know, it's like when work is really fucking crazy right now. I really mean it. And that also means that I'm not going to be able to devote the time and attention that you might want. You know, it's not really a cop out for me, but I think, I don't know, maybe I'm a rare one. I tend to say what I mean what I say. And I don't like to send somebody mixed signals and stuff like that. But sometimes it's like, work is all consuming right now. I can't give you the time and attention that you might want right now. Up to you if you want to stick around and wait until things settle down, you know?
So you just don't beat around the bush. I mean, why are you going to beat around the bush when you can just go ahead and cut down a tree and just get it all over with?
But see, here's the problem.
Exactly.
What you're saying is absolutely correct. But the thing is that if you're not into a relationship yet,
Joe.
Hey, cut out. he cut out, it sounds like.
Yeah, he's the line is still there.
Did he
there,
drop off the switchboard?
No,
but,
no,
know,
he's still there. He's still there.
Yeah, basically I think that is the correct way to do it. That's up front. You know, anybody, any reliable being should be able to understand that, you know, unless now there's occasion and stuff with that you will get somebody that has that infatuation.
Exactly.
And on the other hand, what could take place is that this person and stuff, she said she was going to be working in it, and then all of a sudden you got a stalker, you know, in some cases and stuff. But some cases and stuff, you'll have a person and stuff that understands that and willing to bring the relationship forward and is willing to do what? Willing to wait throughout on that occasion. Okay, we can meet next week and have that romantic time and stuff. So you got those guys that'll live for that, okay? And the problem with that sometimes is the fact that when you see that the relationship is, oh wow, I'm really excited about this, and I really like this guy. You know, how much more time is he going to be willing to put into it? And then are you just going to say, wow, you know, like he's okay, and I can work this and I can do all these things, and then we'll always get back to having your time. Now, that takes a strong person to be able to do that, you know. But it's But the truth, be truthful about it. You just got to tell it the way it is. This is what I'm doing, you know, and I love to spend time with you and stuff, especially if you're building your own career and if you are headed places that you worked all of this time for, why not, you know?
And then again, as Lori Ann was saying, you could tell somebody that, but you also have to know that person, because she can be as direct as she wants. And like you said, next thing you know, you got a stalker, or you got somebody who just like, I don't like what she said to me. She is too direct. And you just have to know the person who you're with, seriously, because it's like, it doesn't matter how I say it, I'm direct and tell this person that, you know, what's going on. If I hold anything in and don't tell the person what's going on, I mean, it's almost like a, you know, can't say win-lose situation. You're going to lose every time because she's being direct, but if the person isn't ready for that directness, then it's going to be a whole different story as well. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the case, and Some people will just say, okay, then I'm going to try and cut back on what I'm doing because I really want this relationship to go, you know.
But if it's your job, why are you going to cut back on your job and then this person who you're with is not a guarantee? And then you're out there and you don't have a job. And then what you going to do?
Well, affairs of the heart goes much deeper than jobs, you know. Unfortunately, you know, if you fall in, that's the only way you're going to be able to do it. You can rebuild a career, but a lot of times you might let something that you think
slip
could be
fingers.
An everlasting deal, just slip away. So, you know, and that's what happened. But the most important thing she said to me that I listened to was to be honest and direct with a person.
Right.
You know,
and they can't deny what you said because you were honest and direct.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You
exactly.
Know.
So you can't
say
what you
mean.
Being
what you say. And that doesn't mean you have to be a jerk about it. You know, it's just being honest.
Right.
Like, hey, right now, my work, you know, we just had an acquisition, and, like, my work.
Oh, I hate those.
I have to work, you know, 11, 12 hours a day. I just don't have time right now until things settle down. And it's like, if you just put it out there like that, like anybody can relate. And if a guy has a problem with that, then it's like, I'm sorry, but that's
you don't
your
need that
problem
guy
that you have to live with, you know. And
that's
if
right
you want to be with me, you got to live with this and see me through this, you know, this tide, and things will change. Things will settle.
Right.
But if you're impatient,
like
then that's
time
unattractive to me.
You know, that reminds me of Oprah Winfrey and her famous, infamous boyfriend, Stuttman.
Oh, ugh. I never did like him. He just I'm sorry.
He was like the invisible man to me. You know,
I didn't
man
like him. I'm sorry.
Yeah, we're still together all of these years. I mean, just think about it. What she took to build her empire. He had an empire as well. You know what I'm saying? Well, if two people can actually claw together, you know, do this, okay, and then at the end of the day still be able to be with each other, then so be it. You know.
Right.
So be it.
And as.
Yes.
And as. Are you paying for 2 hours worth of Block Talk time or 3 hours of Block Talk time?
I it's a monthly thing.
Ordinarily, not so tonight. Ordinarily, I mean.
We have increments of an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours, 2.5 hours, 3 hours. So those are increments. So we pay by the month.
Okay. All right.
You
but when
silver?
You normally schedule a show, normally schedule a show, are you scheduling it for 2 hours or for 3 hours?
I normally schedule it for two, depending on the show, because some people just have an hour, or some people have an hour and a half, depending on the day.
Okay.
Like church, we do an hour and a half. But, you know,
Did you schedule tonight's show for 2 hours or for 3 hours? I have a point I'm going to make.
2 hours.
You may be actually be paying for 3 hours. The reason why I say that is because I got cut off. I just called back in 6 minutes ago. I am on the air. I should not be on the air. If you only scheduled from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m., right? It is now after 11 p.m. I should not have been able to get back on the air. But I am on the air. So you have to,
because
I would suggest you talk to Block Talk Radio
added,
to make sure about your plan.
No, because I added
time.
Yeah,
I know you added an extra hour. But that doesn't mean I can get back on the air. Right, Lori? If you schedule a show for 2 hours and you add an extra hour, you won't be able to call back in if you don't call in the first 2 hours.
Once the live broadcast,
yeah, you better talk to that.
Then you can't call back in.
Okay.
It depends on what plan you have and how long you can take it.
Okay.
Like my show
is
3 hours. I always schedule it for 3 hours.
Yours.
That 3 hours is up, then the live broadcast ends. Nobody can call back in. So we can continue.
Okay.
But nobody can call back in if they're disconnected or whatever.
Absolutely.
Oh, okay.
And the same thing with a two-hour show.
Thank you.
So that's why I'm asking it this. If you schedule for 2 hours, right? I got disconnected after the second hour. I should not have been able to call back in because you are now an archive. But I did call back in, and I got through. So that's why I'm saying to you, maybe you should talk to Block Talk Radio. You might be paying for 3 hours and not even know it. In other words, you may be entitled to a discount.
Okay. Because I usually try to cut off within, 2 hours. But a lot of times if things go over like they did tonight, I'll add another hour. But I just usually schedule for a 2-hour time frame. So, and see, this thing was given to me. So there's a lot of things I probably still don't know. And so, you know what I'm saying? So I'm going off what was told to me. And so I don't know all the ins and outs of all the things. So I appreciate that.
Well, let me tell you what
you've
got.
You
probably have a 3-hour show. Okay. When you think you've got a 2-hour, you might have a 3-hour show.
Okay.
Without having to add anything. You might, okay, without having to add it. In other words, you, since the show was given to you, but you're still paying for it, you might want to check out, you might get it, you might be entitled to a discount.
Okay, because I appreciate that because I know that, you know, we just scheduled for about an hour or hour and a half or whatever, but then but when we were having a show, they said, you know, do you want to add some more time? And so we would add more time, and then that would add more time to the system or stream being connected, because I'm still saying we've got 5 minutes, so it's going to be going off in a minute anyway. So I can always do for 3 hours, like you say, and if we go 2 hours, we're done. Cool. If we go 2.5 hours, we still have that other half hour. If we go for 3 hours, then we're still on the air for 3 hours, and people can call back in, like you're saying. Is that correct? So,
yeah, it's just kind of weird. Like, you get a bonus hour, too. So all you have to really do is go into your settings and see what plan you're on.
Right.
You know,
I think
if you're on the silver plan, then you get the 2 hour per day show. Gold plan, you get the 3. Platinum, you get 4. So you can just look in your settings to see like how many max per day. But you can set up your shows. You know, even if you have 3 hours per day, you can set up your shows for 2. For each episode, so you can do less than that if you want to, right? And so maybe that's what you've done.
Right,
is like,
correct.
You have a 3-hour plan, but you set the show up for 2 hours. But that's why we're still going on, is because you actually have 3. And then you have the bonus hour.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so once my show, I set mine up for the full 3 hours. But then once that 3 hours is up, the live broadcast is over. And then it's part of the show recording for that bonus hour.
Correct. That is correct. Okay.
And
all
one
thing
I want to add, James, Ms. Inez, Dustin, if you guys ever become a guest on Lori's show, if she says she's only going to schedule you for an hour, just bring your lunch because you're going to be there for 6 hours, okay?
That's fine. That's so right. funny.
You don't know how frustrating it is. She tells us.
I will take you guys up on that. You know, just make sure I get the details and stuff. Inez, you have the details? Okay.
I don't have Lori's Ann's number because she came up as Loose and Libertarian. So, I mean,
but you can follow me. That's my show. So this is Libertarian. My show here on Blog Talk. So you can find me on Blog Talk and follow me. I'm following you.
James,
love to come on your show.
Yeah,
so funny.
Because if you talk about community building and you're only going to be there an hour, you can forget about it, all right? Because if you start at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, you can expect to get off at midnight. I don't care what you have planned, all
right?
Because she will, you will just be there. But, oh, my God.
And that's cool.
She has that
that's
talent.
Cool. I'm cool. But we have about 2 minutes to go. We have about 2 minutes to go, and we only got about half of the questions or half of the statements, so we'll have to do a part 2 next week, which is fine with me. Because this has been very, very, very good. So the announcements, on Thursday we have View of the Kingdom from Pine Bluff, and they're out of Arkansas, and that's 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. Sunday we have Second Sunday is a Time to Decree with Pastor B, and she's at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. And let's see, basically that's about it. Then we have us next week again, and that's 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. And if you want to donate to the show, you can do that either through Cash App, and that's $ANAISEVALCOUR, or Venmo, and that's the @MZ-INEZ, or through Zelle, or old-fashioned way is fine too. Send the donation here to me. But I just appreciate each and every one of you again coming on and,
you know, calling in and having this conversation, because it's a conversation that needs to be had. And I just appreciate each and every one of you. I have been your hostess for the evening, Miss Inez, CEO and fashion designer of On Ice Alcor Designs at www.anaisecalcor.com. And you can follow me on Facebook and Instagram. And think about what you could do to improve race relations. And in a world of which you could be anything, y'all, be kind. And Joe, I love you. Lori Ann, I love you. Mr. Parks, I love you. Dustin, I love you. World, I love you. Worldwide listeners, I love you. Join us again next Tuesday, 6 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Eastern. 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. Have a good evening. Peace out. Double deuces up. Love y'all.
Yeah, love everybody.
Be safe.
Good night.